here with episode 58 of the TV and Lutz video game podcast for TVandLutz.net. Today on the show we have Stephanie Lancaster.
Hello.
And we have Chris Dunn.
Yo.
And I'll tell you who we don't have. We don't have Seth.
Aww.
What?
We miss you, Seth.
I know, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
What are you doing? We miss Peter, too.
We do.
But, I leave for Japan tomorrow morning.
Awesome.
And you're still doing this.
I'm still doing this, right? Yeah.
Good for you.
Dedicated.
I totally would.
I went in to get my check from the Toy Vault yesterday, because I figured a couple extra bucks on the trip couldn't hurt.
Right.
And then he's like, my manager's like, oh, you coming in early? I'm like, what? I go, yeah, the schedule today. And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I usually work, if I'm off from my, like, my real job on Fridays, mm-hmm. usually I work there on Fridays. But, like, there was no real, we didn't come to an agreement on what the schedule would be for this week because it was a weird week. But
oh, gotcha.
Worked it, whatever, it's fine. But, yeah, so I've just been really, like, busy. And then, on top of being busy, like, tomorrow, like, I'm doing, like, it's literally, like, 20 to 22 hours worth of traveling or something like that. From the time I leave my home till the time I get to, like, collapse in the hotel room, it's like 20 to 22 hours. Almost a full 24-hour day.
Where are you flying out of? Hartford?
Providence.
I like Providence a lot better.
I like Providence, too. Bradley feels kind of ghetto.
Yeah. That's where I flew out of Bradley last time and not a huge fan.
Yeah, and they're about equal distance away. I think Providence is easier to get to than Bradley.
Yeah, I agree.
But I prefer TF Green in terms of ease to get to. I'm not driving, but I mean just in general it's
right.
easy to get to.
Yeah, no, I generally agree with you.
And then we have a layover in Detroit, and they have a nice airport. So
yeah, they do. That's where I had a layover on my way back from Connecticut, actually, in Detroit. First time I've ever been there, and it was pretty nice.
Yeah, it is really nice. I don't know about the rest of the city, but that's nice.
Yeah.
And then it's like 13 hours.
Ugh.
And it's like anything over 5 hours is like hell on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like I said, I hate flying. I don't like doing it. And like I'm talking to like Dana, she's like, no, it's fine with me. And I'm like, what? She's like, I'm more worried about earthquakes than like in Japan. I'm like, you're more worried about fucking earthquakes,
right?
Like, honey, we're in the sky for 13 hours.
Really?
There's a lot of things that could go wrong.
Are you gonna like close your eyes? Because I know I have problems with that. Like when I get on the airplane, I always sit down or whatever, and then you see people sleeping, and I'm like,
How the fuck can you sleep
at a time like this?
I've never slept on a plane. Never.
Yeah, I have not either.
Nope.
It's crazy.
You know, you get knocked around and everything. You look at these people; they're just reading their newspapers and shit. I'm like, hey.
This could be an emergency,
and you're just reading your paper. I do it. I mean, I do it. I don't let that fear of flying stop me.
I'm with you on that.
I can't stand it. And just the idea of like traveling for like that long.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it's like 20 to 22 hours, even though like 13 hours of that, you're just kind of sitting in a chair. It's just still very taxing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
And we're gonna get in Tokyo like it's gonna be about, I don't know, like 4:30 in the morning or something like that. Here, mm-hmm. But it's gonna be about 5:30 in the afternoon there. But like, what the fuck am I gonna want to do?
Right.
Yeah.
Like you're like, oh fuck yes, let's just go to sleep. Fuck it.
Yeah, you need a good day or a couple hours. You know what I'm saying? To actually sleep it off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe get some couple of drinks, but just this exchange rate's fucking killing me. I saved up quite a bit of money, mm-hmm. but like I'm just like I'm looking at the exchange. I'm like, fuck, it's just not enough.
Is it really bad?
It is really bad. The exchange rate sucks. Last time it was like it was about 110 yen to the dollar. Now it's only like 76 yen to the dollar.
No.
Huge drop.
How long are you going to be there for?
7 full days. So we have the night we arrive, and then 7 full days, and then the morning before we leave.
Okay.
So A lot of time. We do what's called though, like we cheat breakfast. Like sometimes we get like a really like nice breakfast
mm-hmm.
because we stay at a really awesome hotel. But we get what we call gift shop bread, like the gift
right.
shop. The gift shop has like breads, like sweet breads and stuff, and they're fucking delicious. Like they're not mm-hmm. shit foods, but they're wicked fucking cheap. Like, dude, it's a total gift shop bread morning. I'm not paying more than like 500 yen. Let's just fucking get our bread and leave.
That's awesome. That's
good, right?
Mm. It's just expensive though. Like, you get like eggs and some fancy ass eggs. You get your eggs and like maybe some kind of meat. Like, oop. There's like 3,500 yen, like, right there. You're like, son of a bitch. Some richy-ass eggs.
Crazy.
Some golden goose laying these eggs. Yeah. It's expensive. Yeah, when you combine the expense of Tokyo with, like, the shitty exchange rate, like, it's just murder.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So. But. I am... People keep asking me if I'm looking forward to it. I've had so much shit to do this week, I'm like, I can't even think about it right now. Yes, yeah. I'm going on an international trip. No, I really can't think about it. I will be excited once I land in Tokyo. That's when I will be excited, you know, because I'll be excited that I didn't die on the way over, which is such a stupid fear. Like, you know, when a plane crashes, like, it makes international news because this just doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's there to really worry about? I mean, I guess there's not much to worry about, but it's still just kind of scary.
No, you can say that. While you're on land, there's not much to worry about. But then once you get up there, it's like, oh.
What's that noise? Oh, my God. Why are we
moving? I know. Every single noise.
Yep.
And it's so noisy. You watch movies where people are, like, having, like, these whisper quiet conversations on the plane. Like, no, the engines are roaring. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You'll be fine, though.
I'll be good. I'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah, I'll have a good time. I'm all packed. I'm all ready to go. I'm psyching myself out. I think I might take a couple swigs of NyQuil before we leave.
There you go.
Hopefully it kicks in like right when we like board for like Detroit. Like that's when.
Right.
From Detroit. Like that's when it'll kick in. But I don't know.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see what you bring back. That's awesome.
Oh, like, it's going to be something cheap. I'll tell you that with this.
Right. No, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because you're really good at picking stuff out. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait to see what you find. So.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool.
It'll be exciting. But that's me. That's me. What about you, Steph? It's been a little while.
Yeah, no, I've been chilling. Like, just being crazy. Well, not really being crazy, but all this crazy.
Being crazy.
All this crazy stuff, like, you know, back in the swing of things with school and work. And my son started middle school. Just all types of stuff. Him playing sports. Just craziness, and then trying to keep up with all the crazy gaming stuff that's going on and all the new releases that are about to hit. It's been wild, but you know what? I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I've finally gotten back into the groove of things because, like, for the first couple weeks, the way my schedule is now, like, I really don't have time to, like, check my phone and tweet. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm following a kid around for, like, 7 hours. Yeah, you know, like, they totally jacked up my schedule this year at work. But anyway, yeah, and every little thing that I do, you know, the boy asked me, oh, what is that? Is that your gaming boy? And I'm like, what is a gaming boy? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is that? But, yeah, he's a trip. But, yeah, every little thing I do, if I pull my cell phone out, if my son texts me, you know what I'm saying? He's asking me, what are you doing? What are you doing? So I have no time during the day to even remotely know what's going on in the gaming world, which sucks. But, you know, I'm trying to make do with it, I guess. I don't know. It's been crazy. The past couple weeks have been ridiculous. But yeah, here's to Thanksgiving break. I can't wait till I get a freaking vacation. Like, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, that's when you're going to get some downtime. It's so far off. It's like almost 2 months away.
I know. Oh, no. I think I'm going to call out sick, though. I mean, hopefully no one's listening to this, but they're not. I'm going to call out sick for like 2 days when Uncharted comes out, Uncharted 3. So November, I think I'm going to take off the 2nd and the 3rd. So, yeah. And then I think school is off on Halloween anyway. So, yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's me.
Wow, it's very busy.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. What about you, Chris? You as busy as that?
Not really, no. We did finally this week go and buy our wedding rings, which was pretty exciting.
Ooh. Awesome.
I suppose.
Now, did your fiancé get to pick yours out, or did you pick your own out?
We both went and looked, and, you know, a couple weeks ago we went and, like, ordered a few for me to try on and, you know, together. But, I mean, I made the final decision of which one I was gonna get.
Okay.
That's but, cool. I mean, I'm glad that she went. I mean, I don't know what's cool, you know, or what is going to look good. So I wouldn't want to do it all myself, you know.
I hear you.
Yeah. So, you know, dropped some money on that. Yay. but I should probably mention, since Craig has been all up on me about this, I finally bought Solo to Robo today.
So, nice. Good.
I haven't played it yet, so... yeah, I haven't played it yet or anything, but, you know, so I won't mention it in, you know, games we've been playing, but I did buy that, so shut up, Craig.
Good. Well, now I'm going to ride you until you play it. You only have to play that, Chris.
I will play it. You know, I play my DS a lot. I mean, so, you know, that's why I don't feel bad going out and buying, a game for that. I mean, if I buy a ton of, you know, games for my home systems, I don't have time to play them all that much. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I play my DS a lot. You know, because we only have one main TV hooked up, you know, so I can play it while my fiance is watching TV, or, you know, play it on my break at work or something like that. So,
right.
I mean, based on what I've seen about it and the things you've said about it, it definitely sounds like something I'll enjoy. So,
yes, something any human being will enjoy.
a human being. Well, that's not me.
Oh, we just ruled him out. Okay, cool.
I'll try it anyway.
Later in this episode, we will be announcing the winner of the Retro Game Challenge contest. Seth did pick a winner for that, and he did let me know. So he can't be too busy. But before that, we have news, and only a little bit of news this week, which is good, because we have a lot of questions and we have kind of a big topic to talk about. But Shank 2 coming next year. Do either of you guys play the first Shank?
I played the demo of it. It was okay. It was pretty cool.
I played the demo too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I saw, like, videos.
I really like the look of it. I like, you know, the animation and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a video of the first Shank at PAX East a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked good, but I haven't played it yet. But yeah. I hear good things. I've heard that people enjoy Shank. So second one is coming.
Nice. Yeah.
Co-op in it too, which is cool.
Co-op is awesome. I love co-op. I like it more than competitive modes.
Yeah, definitely.
Usually because I'm not very good. Journey, the next game from that game company, is coming to PSN in spring of next year, which seems like such a long wait.
I know.
Yeah.
I want to play.
It's disappointing. I mean, I'm kind of glad because there's just so much coming out now, but spring. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like over the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
yeah, I figured after they had the beta this summer, it'd be
sometime
pretty
this
soon
year.
After.
Yeah.
Nope, it's almost another year later.
I know. It's crazy.
But it'd probably be worth the wait. I mean, Fire is still definitely one of my favorite games this generation, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Journey.
Yay.
Me too.
Intelligent Systems is developing a puzzle game for the 3DS eShop. Mm-hmm. Hiku Osu Push Pull. it's a puzzle platformer where the first time I read this, I thought it said Mario, but you take control of characters.
That's what I thought too.
Mario.
Well, it's a little red and blue guy who, you know, jumps over stuff to a flagpole.
Right, yeah. Ooh, weird. And you push and pull blocks. So to create pathways to get through the stage, which sounds actually a bit like Catherine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned it, yeah.
But it sounds good. Intelligent Systems is a good developer. And it looks fun. So I'll be interested to see if that comes stateside.
Hopefully it does.
So. We've seen some of these games get announced for Japan like this. And the Picross game got announced for there, too, and I haven't seen anything yet, but...
Yeah.
I hope it does, because, I mean, we haven't seen a whole lot of original stuff on the eShop.
Right, yeah, no, this will be good. It comes out in Japan October 5th for 700 yen, which translates to about $1 million with this. Nah, it's probably somewhere between 8 and 10, somewhere in there, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
Sweet.
I'm in.
I Am Alive is still alive. It's coming out to Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network this winter. Do we have an actual year? Because winter actually extends until the next
year. Yeah, all I was winter.
Yeah.
I was hoping that meant this year, but, I mean, didn't see anything one way or the other, so I did not specify.
Okay. So, yep, this winter could be late this year, early next year. It's an action game takes place after a disaster. Mm-hmm. So, I guess originally it was supposed to be a retail game. That's what I thought. So it's interesting.
That's what I thought too, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I was so excited for this game. Like, I want to say 4 years. When was it announced? Like 4 years ago, right?
Yeah, it's been definitely a few years.
Yeah, and then it totally dropped off surface of the earth. And
yeah, I think it came back like this E3 with like a new developer or something.
It was probably budget concerns is probably what it was.
Right, yeah. I can imagine, yeah. But that's cool. It's going to be downloadable, so that's pretty cool.
Right. I mean, it's nice that it's still coming. I like the fact that these download platforms can give a game that would otherwise be canned a new lease on life. Even if it's scaled back in some regards, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. I would rather play some aspect of that game than just have it, you know, disappear forever.
Yeah, definitely.
So, that's good. The Metal Gear Solid HD Collection is getting a limited edition, which includes an art book, and that's it. So... I heard about this, I'm like, ooh.
Right.
And it's just like the Metal Gear Solid 4 Limited Edition. Like, oh, I get a Blu-ray disc that I'm never going to watch.
It looks like a nice art book, though.
It does. Yeah, it does.
Mean, I have the Peace Walker Limited Edition for PSP, and that art book was kind of like, you know,
it's like an art pamphlet.
Yeah, it's like the size of like a coloring book.
Yeah.
This looks, you know, like hardcover. It looks really nice.
Yeah, hardcover, 248 pages. So it's a solid art book. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
And
I was going to pass on this, actually. But now that this is coming out, I might just actually have to pick it up. I mean, this was one of the games that I was going to hold off on.
Yeah, I was going to wait on this, too. But, you know, I actually missed out on the Metal Gear Solid 3 Limited Edition for PS2. Right. And that goes for, like, hundreds of dollars on eBay now. So.
Ooh, wow, it's a spicy deal.
Yeah, so I don't think I'll wait.
Yeah, I know, it sucks.
And this is going for $80, which is...
Oh, they confirmed the price?
Well, Amazon
has it. It's listed on Amazon.
Oh, sweet, because that's what I was going to say. Hopefully it's $80. That's awesome, okay.
Yeah, I told my fiancé that it was coming out, and she's like, how much is that going to be? And I said $80, and she's like, oh, I figured it'd be $100.
Right.
So,
I'm cool with the 80.
I mean, granted,
there's some limits on these special editions with pricing.
Yeah, I don't think they could go 100, you know, for just a book, but
true.
I'll buy it.
They might try.
Yeah, they might try to push.
It wouldn't have surprised me if they'd tried.
Right, exactly. All right. Well, with news out of the way, out of fucking
quick news.
We can actually talk about this episode's topic, because this episode does have a topic, unlike the last
few episodes. What? Topics?
It's funny, because it's like the last few episodes haven't had a topic, because I really haven't had time to do a longer podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But they were still, I think, really robust and interesting podcasts. Like, they still had plenty of conversation going. We really didn't even need topics.
Yeah.
Even though that is the case... we did have an article published, our games that we're looking forward to in Q4 of this year, so basically the holiday season, and that's definitely worth talking about, and I do have the time this afternoon to talk about it. I hope you guys do, too, and I hope the listeners have time to listen about it. Otherwise,
no, I gotta get going now.
I know. Everyone's just fast forward. Fuck this shit. I want to know who won the contest. But plenty of great games to look forward to. Lots of variety, I think. I guess we can start here in October. And what are you guys looking forward to in October? What's the biggest thing, Chris, for you?
The biggest thing for me is definitely Batman Arkham City.
Nice.
You know, I'm a huge comic book fan anyway. But, I mean, Batman Arkham Asylum was, you know, probably the best comic book game out there. You know, it really makes you feel like Batman. And this, you know, it sounds like it's going to have a bigger area, you know, new villains and stuff. I mean, everything I've seen about it looks fantastic, you know. It
does look good. You got your voice quality dropped, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
That sucks. Can you still understand me?
Yeah, right now I can, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good.
It's all crackly.
I don't know what happens. I can hear you fine, so.
Some awesome.
I guess that's it. I'm just not awesome enough.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Steph? What is the game that you're looking forward to most in October?
Ooh, that's such a loaded question because there's so many good games coming out. I'm going to go with Skylanders. I really am going to go with that. Just because I have no clue how it's actually going to play out. It looks amazing. It looks awesome. I can't wait to stick the action figures on the little platform thingy and watch it glow. I can't wait. And I really want to play a platformer. And you know what I'm saying? I'm glad that Activision is, you know, taking, I don't want to say I'm glad that they're taking over Spyro or whatever, but I'm glad that they're trying to reinvent this series, because I really do like, yeah, you know, the series. Yeah. So that's cool, and it's something different. So I really am excited about Spyro. That's probably my most anticipated for this month.
Yeah, same for me, too. And, you know, a lot of people complain, that's not Spyro, like, dude, like, the Spyro trilogy, like, the only, like, games that really people associate with Spyro. Mm-hmm. Like, they were, like, what, like, 10 years ago? Like, get the fuck over it. Move on with your life.
The first, like, three, I want to say.
And there was one through three, and then there was a bunch of them. I mean, there's a bunch that happened since Activision.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's a whole mess of them. But people don't really, look at those when they think of Spyro. They think of the original, like, Insomniac trilogy on the PS1. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time. Like, you can just move on with your life. Like, I don't think, like you said, I think it's a reinvention. I don't really think that I don't really care. I like Spyro, but, I mean, I don't really find it all that egregious that they're implementing Spyro in another game that seems to be highly character-based.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I think it's fine. It doesn't really bother me one bit. If you really want to play Spyro, go back and play Spyro. Go play the old Spyro.
I know, right?
Nothing is stopping.
There's so many ways to get the original Spyro. Go back and play those. Right. You know?
Right. Exactly. So I just think putting Spyro in there is just a means to an end. It's not really anything. So I don't really care about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the game looks like a lot of fun. I'm actually getting the 360 and the 3DS versions.
I remember you saying that is it the 3DS version is more of, what's the 3DS version?
My understanding is the 3DS version is more platforming.
Okay.
And the console versions are more action. I mean, they all have, like, platforming. They all have action.
Mm-hmm.
But the 3DS is more focused on platforming, and the console versions are more focused on, like, combat and puzzles.
Also. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll hold off on that one, probably in December, because there doesn't seem to be that much coming out. So no, I definitely want to get that one, too.
I just like the idea that I can level up my characters on my 3DS. And like, then my downtime at work or whatever. And then, yeah, bring them home and play them on the console.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is awesome. What else we got here in October? You know, I put the Core Gang on there.
I just got my email today.
I got the email
upset.
This fucking game is never coming out.
It get delayed again?
I think it is.
You know, because I even talked to Atari. They even told me it was coming out October. Like, someone from Atari said, yes, this is coming out October 4th.
See, you know, the crazy thing is that, okay, it says October 4th, right? But then, I think it was like, because I pre-ordered it off of Amazon. So I think it was 2 weeks ago I went and checked, and it said October 7th. So I'm like, that's kind of weird. You know, like, Friday release, whatever. And then I got the email this morning, and it said, like, November 8th. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is never coming.
I don't even understand. Like, like, this game's, like, already in English. It released in Europe over a year ago.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So I don't know. I don't know. But I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully Atari can because I don't know what the fuck else Atari's releasing. I don't know, like, what's really clogging up their schedule here. They got some downloadable games that they've been focusing on, but just...
Right.
Atari, please, just release my Core Gang, and we'll be good.
I know.
I will forgive you for Sanctum of Slime if you just release Core Gang. With Dark Souls, are you guys picking up Dark Souls? Do you guys have Demon Souls?
I'm passing on Dark Souls. I feel bad saying it, but I'm passing.
I'm sure it's going to be great, but like I just don't, with the release schedule the way it is, I don't have time to play a game that requires such an investment and such a heavy amount of patience.
That's my main reason for passing on it right now. So.
Yeah. It looks great. I would love to get my hands on the special edition, but I'm just, if I paid $6 for it, I just wouldn't be able to play it. I just wouldn't have time.
Yeah,
that's right where I am too. And I actually already own Demon's Souls, and I still haven't played that.
See, I played it, you know, and I get my ass kicked, but I've never even come close to finishing it because it requires a lot of patience, I think.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
You know, I'm not ragging on the game or anything like that. I'm probably speaking more about myself as a player than anything else, but I just don't have that kind of time on my hands.
I think my biggest, you know, when Demon Souls came out, you know, I bought it on release, played it for maybe 30, 45 minutes, and I haven't picked it up since then. And I think my biggest problem, not only was it hard, but I don't know, maybe I'm different or I'm special, but I like being told kind of like what I'm supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like I was just plopped into the environment. And don't get me wrong, I like exploring and stuff like that and trying to figure things out. But I don't know if it was the fact that there were other games out at that time, and I just didn't have the patience to sit down and try to get through it. You know, it kind of totally made me, you know, put it back on the shelf. And
I mean, that is a good point. I mean, not only is Demon's Souls like really hard, it gives you no sense of direction.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, it's like, so you're afraid of like dying. So you think like, oh, okay, well, I will limit my exposure to death. So I will just go the quote unquote right way. But there's no indication where the right way is or what you need to do or anything like that.
Exactly, and that's my biggest problem with it.
I mean, you can leave messages, right? Like people leave you messages. Yeah. That helped me once or twice, but it's I don't know. I don't need my game handed to me, you know, finished on a silver platter. Like, here you go, here's the end. But
exactly. But there has to be some type of, you know, I don't want my hand to be held throughout the whole experience. I get that. But like, give me some direction. Like, tell me kind of what I'm supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah.
I understand that. Yeah. we have Crysis hitting Xbox Live Arcade and PSN on October 4th. That's pretty good. We also got Spider-Man coming out on October 4th. You picking that up, Chris?
I probably am. I don't know if I'm going to pick it up right away just because, I mean, there's so much, you know, going on. But, I mean, I'll definitely pick it up at some point for sure.
Yeah. We got Harvest Moon. It's coming out for the 3DS. The DS version's already out. 3DS version comes out October 11th. And that's the day I get back from Japan. Maybe I'll just pre-order it through like Amazon, just have it ship when it ships. But
because
I would like to get I would love to get a new Harvest Moon. And I just figured that, you know, there's two different versions. I might as well go to the 3DS version. There isn't much different. I guess the 3DS version is a bit higher res in its graphics because the screen's better on the 3DS. And plus you have a subtle 3D effect. But other than that, they're the same thing. But I figure if they're the same thing, I might as well get the one that looks better. So
yeah,
definitely.
Also on the same day, we have Aliens Infestation on the DS.
Oh, that looks great.
That looks awesome. I think though, and I hate to say this, I'm probably going to pass at a release on release day.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I really want it, it's just, I mean, I almost feel like this is the sort of game, and this is no comment on its quality whatsoever, but I feel like this is the sort of game that's probably going to hang around store shelves for a little while.
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I will still probably pick it up pretty quick. I mean,
I'm picking
ever since
up
I heard about 11. This game, you know, it's looked great. And like I have more time to play my DS, so I mean.
That is true.
I still might pick it up right away.
We have another downloadable title, Sideway New York, on October 11th. That looks really great. We have a trailer on the site if anyone wants to check it out. You'll probably have to, like, look it up because it's a little ways back, but that game looks awesome. It'll come out on PSN. Get Dead Rising 2 off the record, which I think Seth is interested in, but I don't think I'm
going to. Oh, I forgot about that game.
Yeah, it's got Frank West in Dead Rising 2. That's pretty cool. That's also on the 11th. A lot of games on the 4th and on the 11th.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of that. Like, in November, there's a bunch of games on the 1st and the 15th. It's like, spread them out a little bit.
Yeah, guys. Right? Christ. We got a new Professor Layton.
Yay!
Which I want just to play London Life. I'm not huge on the Professor. I mean, I can understand why people like Professor Layton. That's not it. It's just not big on the, you know, adventure-y puzzle thing.
I have a question. Okay, London Life, right?
Yeah.
Is that only a pre-order bonus through GameStop? Do you guys know, or is that already on the cart?
No, it's built into the game.
This is why GameStop employees make me mad. Yeah, someone told me that at GameStop. Like, I wasn't that
fuckwits.
I know, but I wasn't sure. I mean, I didn't pre-order it or whatever because I made my mind up a couple weeks ago that I was whatever with GameStop. But I was there to get a Dragon Quest Monsters Jokers 2, whatever strategy guide, and this guy was trying to get me to pre-order the new Professor Layton. And I was like, no, it's okay. This isn't even my local GameStop. I tell mm-hmm. the guy that, right? And he's like, well, if you order it here, you'll get London Life. I'm like, okay. And I wasn't sure. So I was like, whatever. You know, I didn't get an attitude or anything. But I was like, whatever. And I just left. And then I started thinking, like, wow, what if that's, like, really a pre-order bonus? Okay, but that's cool. It's not. It's already on the cart.
No, a lot of GameStop employees are, like, the frat boys of, like, the retail world. They'll say anything to get in your pants. Like, they're trying. That's all they want.
That's true. They don't care.
So they'll lie right to your face, and they know it. So whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Okay. So I feel better.
I will probably wait on that, even though I love the Layton games, but... I mean, it sounds like other than London Life, this is a lot, you know, like the, you know, the old Layton games.
Right.
Which is kind of the case with the Layton games, but.
Yeah.
With so much coming out, I might wait on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate having to wait on it, but.
Yeah. But, I mean, basically a lot of my pre-orders these days are based around what I think will be availability for that game.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, for instance, I want to pre-order Harvest Moon, not because Harvest Moon's at the top of my list for October, but because I feel like if I wait, I may not be able to get that game.
Yeah.
True. That's how I do it, too. And I do it based off of that, and also if I'm actually going to play the game, like, within that month. You know what I'm saying? Or, like, in those couple weeks. Like, that's how I do it now. Because, like... Or else I'd be buying all these damn games and have no roof over my head. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I hear you. So yeah, Layton's on the 17th. We have Arkham City on the 18th, and I am probably going to pass at launch. That is a game I will pick up eventually, but probably not at launch. It looks great, but just not something that I'm going to make a mad dash for. And considering I'm
totally getting it day one,
I know you are. I know you are, but considering I'm already spending thousands of dollars on this.
Yeah, it's not a good month, huh?
Yeah, no, it's not a good month for me. But, nah, it looks great, so. What about you, Steph? What are your plans with Arkham City?
Ooh, Arkham City, it depends. If Best Buy still has their pre-order 5 games and get a $100 credit, that's going to be one of the 5 games that I'm gonna go for. If I'm too late on that, I might ask for it for Christmas. I mean, don't get me wrong, I really like Arkham Asylum. I had a lot of fun with that game. Like, I enjoyed the combat, and I'm not a big comic book fan, but I really enjoyed the gameplay. But I don't know, it seems like it's such a big game. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna have the time to, like, actually sit down and dedicate all that time to it right now. So, I mean, most of the games that I'm getting this month are portable games, you know?
I hear you. We also have Ratchet & Clank All for One on the 18th. And I love Ratchet & Clank games, but this one's a bit different. So I think I'm going to not necessarily wait due to financial reasons, but wait to see how it turns out.
Yeah. See, I'm stoked for this one. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Just because of the whole co-op thing. Like, I'm not even really big on co-op, but it's something different in the series. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it's kind of the same, but they're taking a different approach to it. So I just want to see what it's like, you know?
Hear ya.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's good stuff. Then we have Dungeon Defenders on 360 as well as PC on October 19th. I'm really excited for this. I was excited for it, like, over a year ago when I first heard about it.
Is this a downloadable game?
Yep. Okay. There was an iOS version, and
I remember you talking about that.
And I liked the iOS version. There were some problems with it, tied to the fact that it was on iOS, not with the game, but tied to the fact that it was on iOS.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's like a hack and slash, RPG, kind of like it's basically around like horde mode kind of. You have waves of enemies. I guess you can compare it to like tower defense because you can erect defenses to hold off the enemy. But you kind of just jump in the fray and kill things. And your character is persistent, so like when you get better items and you equip them, like those are yours. You allocate skill points or whatever. I think you allocated skill points that game. It's been a while since I played. But, I mean, your character's persistent is what I'm getting at. So when your character is better, like, you can take that into the fray. And there are a couple different kinds of characters, so you can work on different ones. So,
cool.
So it's definitely a very cool, very fun game. I like that kind of gameplay.
Nice.
Kirby's Return to Dream Land, October 24th. Kirby's tearing it up in the past year or so.
Yeah.
I know. I'm not too sure about this one, though. Is this just, like, the Game Boy Advance? What is this one?
This is an all-new one, and it's even multiplayer. Like, this is four-player. It's almost like New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
Oh, is it Wi-Fi? Online?
Probably not. I
doubt it. Duh.
I know, right?
Okay. But that's cool. Okay, so it's almost like New Super Mario Brothers. I haven't really seen too much on this game. Right. I kind of stayed away from it.
Yeah, there hasn't. Yeah, because Nintendo's got Skyward Sword coming out, and they're trying to, like, you know, prop up the 3DS, so they got more important things to worry about. But no, it looks good. And,
okay.
You know, I mean, we had Epic Yarn last year, and we just had Mass Attack release, which I bought, and I still haven't had a chance to play because I've been so busy. But Kirby's. Kirby's back in full force, so it's good stuff.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'll probably wait till Christmas for this one because, I mean, it looks great, but I think with the focus on, like, multiplayer, I don't know if I'll be able to, you know, find somebody to play it with right away, so.
Right, I hear you.
Yeah.
And then we have Disney Universe on October 25th, and this is also a multiplayer focus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which one is Disney Universe? I'm so confused.
It's like an action. I think it looks kind of like maybe like the Lego games, you know, where you got like an action that's kind of like, you know, co-op.
Okay.
I think it looks kind of cool because, I mean, I love the Disney universe. You know, I go to Disney World all the time and I love the movies. So, you know.
Okay. And you wear suits.
I figure based on the license, I might be able to get my fiance to play it with me. But
there you go.
It does look pretty decent. And you wear suits of like that are based on different Disney characters, and you gain abilities tied to the character.
And they are adorable.
Aww.
So, no, that looks pretty interesting. I'd like to see how that turns out.
Yeah.
Now we head into November, and in November, what do you guys? Let's just pick. We'll go around. We'll pick one game that we're looking forward to most in November. Steph,
I don't even have to say my game.
Yeah,
we know.
Drake's Deception. Yay.
It looks good. It looks good. I want to get that special edition too.
Yeah.
I actually did pre-order this because I want that poster at GameStop.
I saw that.
He's going to hang it up over his bed, like on the ceiling, like,
man.
Like dreamy.
No, Steph might, but.
My husband would never allow me to do that. But it's, hey, that poster would be hanging up on the ceiling if I could. But no, Drake for me. Drake's Deception for me.
Gotcha. No, that game, it definitely looks great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Chris and I think ours is the same.
Yeah, it's definitely Zelda.
Yeah. It looks awesome, and I'm trying not to absorb too much information about it, but sometimes it just works its way.
It's so
in.
Hard, though. Everything's coming out all over the place.
I know. What was it? I saw, I think it was Wednesday or it might have been Thursday, like during my lunch break, I was going through Twitter, and I saw, I think it was GameStop, GameSpot, and some other sites. We're basically like, oh, watch the first hour or something like that.
Yeah, I'm like, no thanks. I didn't do that.
I'm like, no. But then there's all these other news stories and everything coming out about it. I'm like, oh, I can't wait. I mean, not as much as Drake's Deception, but I can't wait to play it. That's going to be my Thanksgiving game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to play that game.
It looks awesome. I just got the new issue of Nintendo Power, like, yesterday. And they had, like, I don't know, like, 15 or 20 facts or something like that about the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds, like, really good.
Right.
I mean, they're doing a lot of things that seem almost un-Nintendo-like. And they seem very simple. They seem like simple things, but they're just things that Nintendo doesn't do. Like, you know, I'm watching, like, I'm looking at stuff for, like, when you're flying around Skyloft. And you can throw down points on your map, and then when you're flying around, you see them as beacons of light in the distance. Now, most games allow you to, like, set points of interest on your map, but that's not something that Nintendo has done.
Yeah.
It's not something that Zelda's allowed you to do.
Uh-huh.
It's simple, it's stupid, but it makes the game more playable. There's a lot of, like, details and, like, the environments and stuff, so Nintendo Power was talking about how, like, you could walk into someone's house and, like, just knock all this shit off their dresser. There's a lot of, like, interactivity and, like, a lot of, like, you know, detail in the environment. So, again, it sounds really simple and really stupid, and a lot of other games have done this, but that's just not something Nintendo's done, and certainly not in Zelda.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
Man.
I I actually bought the new issue of Game Informer that has Zelda on the cover, but I haven't read the Skyward Sword article. So, you know, hearing this stuff from you, I mean, it's more than I've heard about the game because I've been avoiding stuff, and it sounds, oh, I want that game so bad.
Yeah, yeah. I think in that Game Informer you're talking about, like, wasn't the Game Informer, I think, where the person who wrote the article when they were playing, he said, like, he was trying to climb up a cliff, and he got to the top, but there were Bokoblins up there, and the Bokoblins like, stomped on his hands and knocked them down. And it's just, like, it's just, like, little things like that that just show, like, Nintendo's, like, really, like, paying it, like, not just creating their games in a vacuum. Like, they're taking a look at other things and putting these details into Zelda, and they're working really hard to make this, I think, perhaps the best Zelda yet.
Yeah. Well, it's been 5 years since Twilight Princess, so I mean, I'm glad to hear that it definitely sounds like it's shaping up.
Absolutely. So, definitely looking forward to that. But also in November, on the 1st, we got a bunch of games. We have GoldenEye 007 Reloaded that's coming out. It's basically the same game that came out on the Wii, but for the high-def consoles. And maybe now that some of the dude bros get to play this game, they can stop, like, oh, that's not good, it's on the Wii, lol. No, GoldenEye 007 was a good game. I really liked it. And now that it's on an HD console, maybe I'm not protective of the fact that it's on, that it's being ported. I don't care. Like, I'm just happy that more people get to play it, and hopefully more people get to enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a good game. Check it out. We have James Noir's Hollywood Crimes come out for the 3DS, and this is totally a Steph game. Like,
Yeah, but it's been delayed for the past. I know. I started putting this on.
How many quarters?
This has been on at least the last like two of our lists.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Fucking Ubisoft.
Right.
I'm looking forward to this too, but I mean, it's coming out the same day as Uncharted, so I don't know
if it actually comes out.
We also have Sonic Generations on November 1st, and I'm really interested in this game. And now here's the thing. Speaking about the North American version, I probably will not buy it day one.
Mm-hmm.
So, because November's just so crowded.
Yeah.
But I want that fucking European special edition.
Yeah, I saw that. That's awesome.
That is
That looks awesome.
Oh, man. That looks so good. And, like, that's what would get me to buy that day one. But it's not out here. So, like, then I have to get someone to buy it for me. And it's stupid expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's good. Like, it's a really nice special edition.
Why wouldn't that bring that over here?
I don't know. Europe's been getting a lot of special editions that we don't get at all, or they're getting quite different ones than us. So, great for Europe. Don't get me wrong. I ain't jelly or nothing, but would be nice if it came out here.
Yeah. I'm passing on this, though. I think this is going to be, I don't know, something that maybe I'll pick up in December or maybe ask for Christmas.
Right.
I don't know. Like, it looks really cool, but yeah, I think I'm going to pass on it day one.
Yeah, I'm really considering getting that special edition. If it were not for that special edition, I wouldn't even, like you said, probably December because there's not a whole lot coming out then.
Yeah.
Right.
And, of course, we also have Uncharted 3 coming out November 1st. Like, if November 1st is packed, I'm sure most people listening to this are getting Uncharted above all others. But definitely a great day. Uncharted 3 looks really awesome. I can't wait to get that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Are you guys going to go to Subway and get your cup so you can get the code to play the multiplayer?
Probably not.
I probably won't.
We got to end this podcast, Craig, so I can go to Subway.
I know. Oh, wow.
No, I might pass on. You know, I played some of the beta, and it was really good. Like, this is why I'm so excited for Uncharted 3, because, like, I'm not really into multiplayer games. Like, I just don't like them, really. But something about Uncharted 2, the multiplayer, I fell in love with it. And I played the beta for Uncharted 3, and it was cool. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun, just like Uncharted 2. But yeah, it's like a month away, and I think I can hold off on it. Like, I want this, you know what I'm saying, like fresh experience or whatever. Yeah. So I think I'm going to hold off on going to Subway and getting that code to play the multiplayer early.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be gone for, like, half of October anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get back, I want to actually play some Gears 3 multiplayer, so.
I know, I haven't tried that yet. You haven't tried it? No.
I haven't, because I played the beta so much.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. And I would love to just kind of just set aside time and just dig into like the retail version. Mm-hmm. But I haven't had time to do that. And
yeah,
a lot of my marker for a lot of stuff has been after Japan. I'm worried about this shit after Japan.
Right.
You know, so we'll see what happens. There's a lot of stuff I'm worried about after Japan.
I hear you.
We got Cave Story 3D coming out for 3DS on November 8th.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably not... I already own two versions of Cave Story. This looks good, but I don't know if it's good enough for me.
Yeah, I'm on the fence with this one.
Yeah.
It sucks that they delayed this stuff into, like, November. Right. You know, if this had come out in August when it was originally planned, you know, I definitely would have picked it up, but... Not so much. Not with Metal Gear Solid being another $30.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid's coming out on November 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably not going to pick this up. I mean, I already own plenty of them, and I'm not like the biggest Metal Gear Solid fan anyway. Mm-hmm. So, but I know Chris is buying it.
Yeah, I already own like two or three copies of 2 and 3 already. So why not go for 4?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
And that art book, gotta have it.
Yeah. Art book does sound nice. November 13th, we have Super Mario 3D Land, which I will be all over because
that was
a lot of fun. And it is perhaps the first, you know, killer app for the 3DS.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue that maybe Ocarina of Time was, or maybe Star Fox 64 was as well. And those are great games. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But this is
like... We played them before.
Right. I mean, this is the first, you know, AAA, like, original release.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the 3DS. So and it looks awesome. So definitely excited for that. Assassin's Creed Revelations on the 15th. I know Steph's.
Yep, that's me. No, I'm excited for this one. Really excited. I tried out. This is how excited I am. A few weeks back, I heard that they were doing a Revelations beta, multiplayer beta on the PlayStation 3. So I'm like, cool. I think I even posted a news story on this. So I was like, cool, whatever. And then I find out that it's only for PlayStation Plus members. So I'm like, damn, okay, whatever, whatever.
You paid for that shit, didn't you? You paid for it.
But no, I only did the 3 months.
Just paid for access to a beta. Do you understand what you just did?
I'm part of the problem. I know. I get it. But... Oh, it was awesome. And I would do it all over again.
Hey,
as long as it was worth it.
Then that's all that matters. How much was that for 3 months?
Oh, it was 17 or something like that. It's under 20.
Okay, that's not a huge amount of money. I probably wouldn't have paid it, but I'm not a huge Assassin's Creed fan like you are, so. Go on. if it was worth it for you, then it was worth it for you. That's all that matters.
I hear you, Steph. Back like a year before the Twilight Princess came out, I paid to go to like some Nintendo concert thing. It had like Fallout Boy or something, but what? I went I could play the Twilight Princess demo. Didn't even go to the concert.
Wow.
Stayed outside the whole time.
I'll be your number one with a bullet.
Yeah, my friend got to play Twilight Princess a year before it came out. Totally worth it.
Totally worth it. Hey, it's what matters.
Of course, the game might not have been, but the demo was.
We have Kinect Disneyland Adventures. Sounds like a Chris game.
Yeah.
Do you have Kinect, Chris?
I do not.
He's going to buy it just for Disneyland Adventures. I can walk around the park in my living room.
Exactly. Hey, it'll save me money flying down to the park.
But, so. I mean, that's basically what that game is.
You got to get married right there in your living room.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But that's what this game is, right? I mean, you just wander around the park like playing mini games.
Yeah,
there's
like games that are set on the rides and stuff. I mean, it looks kind of cool. I mean, it depends how it turns out
in
the long run.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, if I had a Kinect, you know, it'd definitely be, you know, for sure. But we'll see.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'll see how it turns out.
Rayman Origins on the 15th. And this game looks awesome.
Yeah, I'm all over this one.
Yeah.
I'm getting this one.
It looks really, really good. Shinobi on the 3DS, also on the 15th. Man, Sega delayed that. Like, oh, we got to delay this. Yeah, put out the same day as Assassin's Creed. You smart, Sega.
Yeah.
You got to delay this because the climate's not right. Yeah, same day as the new Assassin's Creed. That's the right climate.
Yeah, I don't... You know what? Shinobi's just so hard for me. I don't know why. but I need the
game. Yeah, I was just actually I'll talk about this a little bit more. I was playing the PS2 version last night.
Uh-huh.
It's a good game, but not always easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also on the 15th, we have Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. You're welcome, everyone who did not buy the first one, because I just subsidized your better version of the game by purchasing the first one.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, bro. well, the third, I mean, I'm not really that into the intricacies of fighting games. I just do it to beat up characters I recognize.
Yeah.
Right.
But my understanding is from people who do play fighting games, like, it's pretty much broken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen, like, one of my coworkers is huge into fighting games, and he basically just picks one at a time and just plays the shit out of it and watches, like, YouTube videos of it. And he was showing me people, like, exploit the shit out of the game. So, it seems like if you're in the know, like, the game is just, it's really easy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 will hopefully fix that. on the 20th, we have Skyward Sword, which we already talked about, but
yay!
Definitely looking forward to that. I will be getting that bundle with the gold remote.
Mm-hmm. I will too.
And then finally, on November 22nd, we have a new King of Fighters. We have King of Fighters 13. And Seth's huge. Oh. Seth loves King of Fighters.
I know he does.
And I can see where he's coming from. But it's really interesting. I think I'm not so sure if it's a pre-order bonus or if it's like a special edition, but you get like a 4-disc soundtrack with this game.
Really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
That's cool.
That is cool.
This is Atlas, so that's why.
Yeah, I think it is a pre-order bonus, and you don't have to pay anything extra, but that's pretty cool.
That's awesome, nice. Yeah.
And then in December, we just basically have Mario Kart 7 and Fortune Street.
Yep, two games I'm excited for.
Yeah, I want both those games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why Nintendo's releasing them, like, not on the same day. Like, one's December, like, Mario Kart 7's on December 4th, and then, like, Fortune Street's on December 5th. I don't know why they're doing that.
Yeah.
But Mario Kart 7 looks like a lot of fun. It has some customization in there. And then, you know, new vehicle, not necessarily new vehicles, but new vehicle modes. You get the hang glider and the underwater aspect. So, listen, all they got to do is just fucking tone down that fucking Blue Shell shit and we'll be good. Like, that's all I really want. Like, that's what turns me off from Mario Kart games now. Like, I love everything else. It's just
that Blue Shell
is not quite a deal breaker, but it's pretty close to one.
Yeah.
It's just not fun.
Yeah. And hopefully there's no snaking going on online.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, because at first when I started playing, you know, the DS version online, I'm like, what the hell is this? And it totally took away from the fun of the game. Like, I think I've only played it like 3 or 4 times online. Yeah. So hopefully you can't do all that in this version.
Yeah, some people like their snaking, and that's fine, but that's just not.
Yeah, it ruins it for everybody else.
I think that's just a really boring way to play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, whatever. And Fortune Street, which is called Itadaki Street in Japan, is it's actually a long-running franchise. I think this is the first one we're getting here in the U.S., but it's kind of like Monopoly. It's like a board game, but with generally recognizable characters. Like, there's one with, like Final Fantasy characters in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a DS version. I actually thought this was the DS version when it was first announced. This is actually for Wii. The DS version has, like, Dragon Quest characters and Mario characters.
Oh, sweet.
So that's pretty cool. But, nice. It definitely looks very interesting, so I'll be happy to play that in English. And then we got some stragglers here, some TBA games in quarter four. Fez is off that list. Sadly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's another one that's just never going to fucking come out. I mean, I'm happy that I got to play. Like, I have played the game, and it's awesome, but that's why I want the full thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey.
I'm so upset to see Fishing Resort on here.
On TBA? Yeah, I mean, XSEED seems insistent that it's, you know, it's coming out soon. My latest issue of Nintendo Power says November. Amazon says November 8th. XE told me, like, holiday. That's what they told me. But, you know, what does that mean? Who knows? So November is probably a good idea. But without a real release date from XE, it's just TBA. But it's coming out pretty soon. But I'm excited because that game looks awesome.
Yeah.
It's about fishing, and it looks awesome. Hope everyone heard me. A couple more downloadable titles here. We got Mighty Switch Force. on the 3DS eShop and a new one from WayForward, and that does take advantage of the 3DS's capabilities, unlike their previous games, which is like DSiWare. This is 3DS dedicated, so that's pretty cool. And Renegade Kid has Max and the Mutant Muds.
That looks awesome.
And I like to think that we have a hand in that coming out. Like, that may or may not be the case, but
right.
Either way, it looks great.
Either way,
yeah, it looks really cool.
Definitely excited. And of course, we have the 3DS Ambassador GBA games. When those are coming out, but
did they even say which games we're getting? Maybe I missed that.
They said the five.
Okay. I don't even remember what the five were.
Yoshi's Island, Mario Kart. I don't know.
Okay.
They sounded good. I can say that, but I don't remember what they were. And then we have Dr. Lautrec. Is that Lautrec? Lautrec. Some dude. Yeah. Some dude in his Forgotten Knights.
Yeah. This is another one like James Noir that's been on our lists for a couple quarters now.
Yeah. Nintendo Power wasn't too keen on it.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. Yeah. This is the Layton type of game, right?
They say it has a lot of similarities to Layton, but it also has a number of differences.
Okay.
They say there's a lot to like about the game, but they're just they describe it as uneven.
Okay.
So, yeah, just one review, you know, but
just
throwing that out there. And there you go. That's everything we got on our list.
Lots of money.
Some full gaming there. Like I said, a lot of variety, all kinds of different platforms. You got downloadable stuff, console stuff, handheld stuff. You have action. Do we have any RPGs in there? I don't know. Whatever. Tons of stuff. Doesn't matter. We got some great stuff in there. So
yeah.
And there's also Call of Duty if you're into that.
Yeah, and Battlefield. People are like, why is Call of Duty not in here?
Mm-hmm.
No, because we made the list. It makes sense not to ask anymore. It's like, because we're not looking forward to it. You can if you want, but no one on our staff. I think we have a pretty well-rounded tastes on the staff.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's just there are things that we are not looking forward to, and hey, that's. I think that's just our opinion. You can have your own.
It'll sell a bajillion copies.
Yep.
I know.
Battlefield's not on there. I think the new Halo, like the Halo remake's coming out this fall.
Oh, yeah. Too. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's... I one of my acquaintances, actually, he got into, like, an argument with me on Facebook. I think it was, like, last year. It was, like, last fall. And he's like, how come Halo Reach is on there? I'm like, because I don't think anyone's looking forward to it. That's why it's not on there. He's like, what do you mean no one's looking forward to it, too? Like, we're not looking forward to it. How did this one article suddenly make you feel so defensive about wanting to buy Halo? It's like, lots of people like Halo. Okay, dude.
Right?
I believe you. You don't have to get defensive about it. It's all good. It's all good. We welcome all kinds of opinions, but we also ask that people respect ours. That's
right.
Yeah.
So, we do have plenty of questions and comments on Facebook this week. If you listeners out there want to have your input on the podcast, facebook.com/TV and Lust, and we'll read what you have to say on the show. First up, Jordan says, he asks, worst sickness you've ever had?
Oh, wow. Sickness?
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know about that, because I've had ailments that were pretty bad, but like injuries or something, but like as far as sickness goes... That was probably earlier this year when I came home from PAX. I was fucked up something bad.
Right. I don't usually get sick. I mean, I don't think I've ever had the flu. So, I don't know. Like, as far as like, hurting myself, I tore my ACL. That's probably the worst thing that's ever happened to me. But, like, as far as, like, getting colds or flus, I don't really get them like that. I mean, I'll get, you know, like sick every now and again, like achoo, but nothing like that keeps me down for like days or anything like that.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that stands out over any other sickness I've had.
Yeah. No, but definitely, I mean, I don't know what the worst I've had is. Maybe I had some when I was like younger. I used to have croup a lot. When the croup, like such a weird thing, like who the fuck is croup?
Right.
I
croup. What is that?
What the hell is croup?
Yeah, what is croup?
Let me look it up. It's sickness that usually kids get. I'm not even sure if adults can get it. But let me tell you something. The cough when you have croup, I mean, I haven't had croup in like 20 years.
Uh-huh.
It fucking sucks. It is the most painful fucking thing ever.
Is that like the dog cough?
Yep.
Like the bark? Like barking cough or something? Okay, gotcha.
That shit tears up. It feels like your throat is being ripped apart.
Yeah, and it sounds like it too.
But let me see here. Let's see here. It is a relatively common condition that affects about 50% of children at some point, most commonly between 6 months and 5 to 6 years of age. It is almost never seen in teenagers or adults, so there you go.
Right.
But
that sucks.
The infection leads to swelling inside the throat, which interferes with normal breathing and produces the classical symptoms of a barking cough, stridor, I don't know what the fuck that is, and hoarseness. It may produce a mild, moderate, or severe symptoms, which often worsen at night. Yes, that is definitely very true.
Wow.
What is stridor? Let's look this up. Stridor is a high-pitched wheezing sound resulting from turbulent airflow in the upper airway. Yeah, so basically your whole respiratory system is just fucking fucked up.
Right, that's scary.
Croup sucks. So I used to get croup something fierce when I was younger.
I'm so sorry, Craig.
I'm alive. We're good. Terrible. We're all good now. But
and here I am laughing.
No, that cough sucks, man. Croup cough. Ugh.
Yeah, it sounds pretty
bad. That's how much it stuck. It's been over 20 years since I had croup, and I can distinctly remember that cough. I don't even think I was in school the last time I had croup. I think I was pre-kindergarten, and I still remember that shit.
Crazy.
Painful, painful stuff. And Jordan also says he can't wait for Skyward Sword, because we did ask everyone what they were looking forward to coincide with our topic, so he can't wait for Skyward Sword.
Well, you're going to have to.
I
can't wait either.
Andrew asks, have you ever moved your entire gaming collection? I'm in the process of packing the move. When I first moved here, I only had about 50 games. I'm well over 300 now, and it's very stressful. I can't imagine moving over 1,000 games. I've never had to move that many. I've had to move a couple hundred. I mean, that's the most. That really wasn't that big of a deal. A couple boxes, no big thing. But my collection at its current size, nope, never had to move it.
Yeah.
I'm
not looking forward to it. You did, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. I had to move, I had to move everything that I have halfway across the country. So
yeah, exactly.
I don't think I have quite that many. You know, I have a few hundred, but definitely a pain in the ass.
Yep. I don't even know. Like, I look at my game room, I'm like, fuck. Because I mean, I want to be a homeowner at some point. But the renting is just so fucking convenient. But I want to own a home at some point, so it's gonna have to move.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I just ain't looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And he says he's looking forward to Sonic Generations.
Sweet.
John says, as you might have seen, FinnGamer, who's a YouTube user, recently completed his N64 game collection. He actually owns every single Nintendo 64 game ever released, complete in box. The cartridge is in the fucking baggies.
Yeah, that thing is amazing.
It is really
Oh my gosh.
Right down to, like, Clay Fighter, like, Sculptor's Cut. Like, that was a rental-only game, and he has that complete in box with the manual. The manual, he paid boku bucks. He paid, like, I think he said $250 just for the manual.
Wow.
Wow.
$250, $300, something like that. He paid a lot of money for that manual. That's bananas. But John follows it up with, what part of your collection are you the most proud of or happy to have?
Oh, that's a hard...
I don't know, because I don't have anything complete like that. Like, maybe I have a couple, like, series that are, like, complete, but nothing like that. I think I might have to go with my Dreamcast, like, special editions. Maybe, like, Della Jet Set Radio, because that shit's fucking... In the box with the t-shirt, that's... The one I own is the only one I've ever seen on eBay.
Right.
Wow.
Eternal Arcadia, I have Sega Gaga, and I have the Sonic Adventure 2 birthday pack. So
that's awesome.
I'm really proud of those.
I don't know. For me, I really don't have any. I don't know. I don't collect like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
no, I hear you.
Yeah, I don't. But if I did, I mean, I guess I'm trying to get like that with the Game Boy, but I'm not going for a complete collection. I'm only going for the games that I totally remember playing as a kid, and then the ones that I really wanted to play as a kid, and then kind of like the ones that are rare, you know? Like, I don't want all the other filler stuff. So, I don't know. Right now, in my collection, there really isn't anything. I mean, I can say Earthbound, because I've been waiting forever to get that game. I finally got it. And it hurt me to get it. Like, I did not want to spend that money on just the cart, you know? So, yeah. I don't know. Probably Earthbound, I guess.
For me, I don't think there's anything specific. I mean, maybe, like, you know, my Zelda games, because I've got, you know...
Yours are all complete, aren't they? You have them all complete.
Yeah, I have... I think the only one I don't have in the box is the original Link's Awakening. I have the, you know, the color version, but... you know, I've got all those in the box. You know, I've got a bunch of other Zelda shit, too. You know, I have, like, the board game from the 80s and the Master Sword and action figures and stuff, so...
Right.
Probably that. But, I mean, even that, I don't have every single thing, obviously, so...
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, Very few people do.
Yeah. The collection's still growing, but, I mean, that's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah. I mean, as a collector, I'm not looking to, like, complete anything. Like, some things are. Like right now, I'm trying to get all, like, the Wild Arms games, for instance, and I think I'm, like, mm-hmm. one or two mm-hmm. away. And,
I mean, reasonable.
Right, yeah. Right. And I really wanted to get all the Mega Ten games, but, like, that's a tall order. Like, I think it was way more complicated.
Yeah.
It was a lot. I mean, I'll still shoot for it, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm proud of, like, my DS collection. I have, like, 160 or 170 DS games, and it's a really mm-hmm. varied and interesting library, I think, so.
Mm-hmm.
John also says, and since the only system I have that's still pushing out games is the DS, I'm looking forward to picking up Solitarobo, Kirby Mass Attack, Dragon Quest Monsters Joker 2, Aliens Infestation, and Professor Layton. So, tons of DS gaming.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
DS gaming. Wild. That thing is still kicking.
It's still kicking.
I know. I was impressed when stuff was still coming out earlier in the year, you know, like Monster Tale and Ghost Trick, and they're still
coming.
Wow,
was that this year?
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh.
Okamiden as well.
Yeah. Pokemon.
A lot of stuff. Nice. Sagato Senshiro, which I'm pretty sure is not his real name. he says he's dying to play the PlayStation Vita, therefore I'm having my family send me one from Japan when it comes out in Japan. The Vita is region free, so I can play it later with the American titles. I am mm-hmm. looking forward to play Uncharted on the Vita. Any titles you're looking forward to play on the PlayStation Vita?
That Sound and Shapes one looks really cool. Is that the name of it?
Sound Shapes, yeah.
Sound Shapes, yeah. I don't even know. I mean, of course, the Uncharted game. But I forget, what else? The Ease game? And then there's something else. Oh, I can't remember what it was.
Those Gravity Days looks awesome. Wipeout looks awesome. Was that?
Oh, they have a Wipeout for the Vita?
Yeah.
Sweet. I didn't know that.
I think, what is that one called? Escape Plan, I think it's called? The Black and White
one?
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, that looks awesome.
There you go.
Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff to look forward to on the Vita. I mean, Persona 4, there's a lot of stuff, so.
Have we gotten an official date for
the Vita? No. No.
Okay. Early next year sometime.
Early next year. In fact, in Japan, it was delayed till next year, too, so.
Oh, was it? Really?
I think it was. I think the original target
was... I thought it was
like,
coming out in, like, December, but... That may have changed.
Well, that's what I thought, too, but let me look it up real quick. Yeah, because I thought it was
the last I heard, I think, was, like, December 17th.
Okay, yeah, that seems accurate. Yeah, I thought it got delayed, but I thought it got bumped until next year, and I was wrong.
Hmm. Okay.
Lukey asks, have you ever wanted to buy a game on release date, and then you first play it years after it came out? No, not that long.
Not years, but...
Yeah, a while.
Sometimes, maybe a couple of months, but... Cause
I mean, who am I kidding? I still have stuff on my shelf that I haven't played, so...
Yeah, I still have stuff that's sealed on my shelf, so... Like Demon's Souls.
Like Demon's Souls.
Yeah, I didn't buy that on release day, but, I mean, I still have a bunch of games on my shelf that are sealed, so...
Right.
That's why I basically stopped buying games, because I just don't find to play them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bad influence.
You are. And now I have sold it to Robo because of it.
Listen, you thank me.
I'll play it, I promise.
Okay.
I'm more promising myself.
Azam asks two questions. Do you see yourself having as many games for the 3DS as the DS? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. Only time will tell, I guess. I don't know. I have a lot of games for the DS.
Yeah,
but...
me too.
I do too, yeah.
When I'm done, I wouldn't be surprised if I hit 200 on the DS.
And oh, yeah. I still have a lot of games that I still need to pick up, you know? So.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And they're still coming out.
They ain't stopping, so.
Yeah.
Nope, absolutely. So, yeah. And do you see yourself collecting every DS game there is? I'm not sure if it's directed directly at me, but. No, because there's a lot.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't want the Hannah Montanas or the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dogs.
That's the problem collecting for, like, modern systems, because, like, you know, Fingamer did just wrap up his N64 collection, but that, I mean, it has a lot of games. Don't get me wrong, like, it's like 400-some-odd games, and that's a lot of games, but it's a lot more reasonable than whatever the fuck the DS has, because that, it's mind-blowing how many games come out for, like, a modern system like that.
Crazy.
And a lot of them, I'm sure, just aren't worth picking up.
Yeah, exactly. Dolan asks, oh no, he's not asking, he's just saying that his favorite games for the holiday season are Uncharted 3, GoldenEye Reloaded. There you go, there's someone picking up GoldenEye Reloaded. That's what you want to see. And Skyward Sword. Good choices.
Does GoldenEye Reloaded have move support and Kinect support?
I don't know about Kinect. I'm pretty sure it does have move. Because I think you can get it bundled with that
gun. Oh yeah, it comes with that gun. I tried to sell you stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the whatever shooter. I don't know.
Yeah, the sharp shooter, I think.
Yeah, sharp shooter.
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah. Adam says, hey guys, I'm relatively new at hardcore gaming. You put that in quotes. So I've never really played anything before the N64. So maybe by hardcore he means like really like exploring more things that gaming has to offer. Just recently played Zelda 1 on the 3DS eShop. Any advice for someone new to the game and series? Any mindset to be in while playing? Be patient.
Definitely, and try
everything. Because Zelda 1's like, I mean, modern games hold your hand, but, like, man, Zelda 1's full of some bullshit. Like, you have to walk through the fucking wall. Like, who thinks of walking through the wall?
I don't think you have to walk through the wall except in before the second quest.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure you only... There might be one wall, actually, in the last level where you have to walk through it.
Yeah, you have to walk through the motherfucking wall. It's bullshit.
Yeah, that game is hardcore.
It is. Like, I mean, I know it now, and I don't. The thing is, I don't know why I know it. I shouldn't know it.
Yeah.
But, because, I mean, back in the day, man, like, that's... Like, we dealt in video game secret currency.
Right. You know what's so funny? Like, as a kid, I guess when it came out, I have an older brother and then, like, a whole bunch of older cousins. And I guess I was 7 when that game came out and our grandmother bought it for us. And I remember thinking back then, wow, this game is hardcore. I probably wasn't thinking hardcore, but whatever. Like, this game is crazy. I mean, it's a gold cartridge. You know what I'm saying? No other game had a gold cartridge or anything like that. And just, like, the fact that you had no clue what you were supposed to do is crazy. I still feel like that when I play it.
The American version came with that map. The Japanese version
came with
that map.
Yeah, it did.
It did come with a map?
And I think the map has, like, some tips on the back of it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it tells you, like, where... The map shows you where, like, I think the first, like, 3 or 4 dungeons are, and it gives you some hints and enemy types and stuff.
I just remember... I mean, because I was so young, they wouldn't let me play it, but I just remember sitting there, like, watching the frustration on their face, like, for hours, and they had no clue. You know what I'm saying? And I just remember thinking, like, wow, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? So... Definitely be patient when you play that game.
Yeah, you do need
to. And at least now you can look stuff up. I mean, if you're that type of person, you can always look up a fact or something.
I would say there's no shame in looking up. If you're really stuck, there's no shame. I mean, there's some obscure shit. Unlocking level 7? Like, why would you think that? That's not even consistent with what that item does.
Right?
Yeah. I would say be patient is probably the best advice. Because, I mean, like... You know, a lot of people say you have to burn every bush and, you know, bomb every wall. I don't think that's necessarily true. I mean, just for beating the game, you know? Mm-hmm. Most of the dungeons, I mean, you can find just by being patient and exploring.
Mm. Right.
You know, if you play the second quest, you do have to kind of burn every bush and bomb every wall. But, you know, I think it's just, it kind of takes a lot of time to just, you know, explore and find stuff. But,
But I would say that if you're really stuck and you want to look up just one thing, like to just get past that hump, I would say there's no shame in that.
Yeah, look it up.
Look it up. That's why you can move on and enjoy yourself. Because that game is just, man, I remember when I first got the game, my parents won't let me look at the map. Because they want, like, ooh, you're going to get paper and jelly all over this
torture.
Map. Yeah. So, I mean, I remember, like I think one of the NPCs does mention the graveyard. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's a fucking graveyard in this game?
Right.
What is this graveyard? Oh, man. Of course, you got to go through, the Lost Woods, or you got to go through all those fucking centaurs and shit up in the mountain to get to it. Like, it was brutal getting to that graveyard. Like, forgive me if I didn't know it was there.
Have fun with it, though. Yeah. I forgot what you said the name was, but have fun.
Yeah, it's a pretty challenging game, but I think it's also very satisfying and rewarding.
I agree.
Barring a few instances where, the game is just weird, it's obtuse, it doesn't make sense. And Paul's voice is not... Don't play the recorder, man. Just shoot it with a fucking bow and arrow and kill the damn thing. Don't do that. Cole asks, favorite version of Mario Kart? For him, it's Double Dash. He says, no, he's not crazy.
What?
Hey.
Really, Cole? Are you serious?
Double Dash ain't that bad. I think my biggest problem with Double Dash is that it has very little sense of speed. I feel like I'm just sort of plodding along.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Maybe because you have a second character on, like, oh my god, this fucking go-kart's going. I mean, really, you get two people on a go-kart, the thing ain't gonna move.
But I guess.
that's really my problem. Probably my only real issue with Double Dash. Otherwise, I think it's a fine Mario Kart. So,
I would say Super Nintendo, the original one. Yep.
What about you, Chris?
I like the DS one.
Yep.
As long as you're not playing online with the snaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The DS version's awesome. Some really interesting tracks on there. And it's really only the blue shell. That's the only thing that just really...
You and your blue shell.
This is the blue shell. It's not okay. I don't want to get hit 3 times in a race. I don't want to be punished for doing... I get hit with a red shell, that's fine. But it just... Yeah. They punish you for doing well. It's literally what they do. That's all they're there.
It doesn't even help the person who's in last,
right, either. It doesn't help the person who fired it. It's a spiteful weapon. That's all that weapon is. It's spiteful because it does not help the person
who fired it. Is that something that they implemented in these... later games? Because I don't really remember a lot of blue shells in the first one. If there even was a blue shell.
I think it started in the N64.
It did.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was going to say. I don't remember that in the first one. Okay.
But even then, it wasn't as bad as it is now.
It's not as bad,
there wasn't nearly as many, and I think it didn't, blow up and kill everybody who's near the leader.
Right. But, you know what it did was, is it just flew down the track. So if you got in its way, you still got
hit. Yeah. It could hit other people.
It could hit other people. So it could potentially benefit the person who fired it.
Yeah.
Right. Now it flies overhead and just homes right in on the first person. I slam on my brakes and hope either I drop the second in time or I nail a couple people behind me. There's nothing else you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
But the DS version, probably Super Circuit, believe it or not, in a close second. I really like Super Circuit.
Really?
I do.
Super Circuit's really cool. I like Super Circuit.
And there's a ton of tracks on there. It's got its own original tracks.
Yeah, that's got the entire Super Nintendo game, I think, in there.
Yep. So I really do like Super Circuit. Cole also says he's dying to play Pokemon Rumble Blast and Skyward Sword. Both look like some of the best games to come out this year.
Nice.
Rusty says, putting all rumors and potential games aside, which 5 additional GBA games would you guys like to see included with the already 5 announced games? Considering we just were discussing this, we don't even remember what the 5 were.
Oh, man.
Drill Dozer, I know that wasn't announcing. Throw Drill Dozer in there.
Drill Dozer.
You know, a Pokemon would be nice. You know, because I'm not looking forward to the Pokemon, but you know, a lot of people are like, man, I really want to play Pokemon. So, a lot of people are looking forward to that. And you know what, there's 10 games, and I'm looking forward to, I think, all 5 of the ones that were already announced. So, you know, I'm not going to play a Pokemon one, but you know, if that helps other people enjoy the 10 more than Pokemon, I'm all for it. But they probably won't do Pokemon. They probably won't.
Yeah.
Okay, I got the list.
Okay.
There is Yoshi's Island.
Awesome.
Mario Kart. Super awesome. Circuit. Metroid Fusion. Mario versus Donkey Kong. And WarioWare Mega Micro Games.
Okay, see, that was going to be one of my games. Okay.
Yeah,
if they had it twisted, that would be cool. Because I actually kind of...
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think they will, because they'd probably have to...
They probably have to jury rig that.
But that game is awesome.
It could probably be hypothetically be done, but
yeah,
I'm sure it could. But I mean, if they're giving out the games for free, they're not going to put a ton of effort
into that.
I don't know. Maybe if they added
the 4 swords, so who knows?
True. Maybe a Mario and Luigi. One of the Mario and Luigi GBA games, that first
Superstar
one.
Superstar Saga, yeah.
Superstar, yeah, that yeah. Because awesome. Partner, hold on, is Partner in Time the other one?
It was on DS.
That was on DS. I think that was on the one.
Okay, Wasn't there two on Game Boy Advance?
No, just Superstar Saga.
No, just the one. Okay, okay. Yeah. The DS has two. Three.
What?
Whatever. Superstar Saga.
Okay, yeah. We can do, yeah.
Yeah.
We will just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Superstar Saga would be good. Minish Cap would be awesome. I mean, we got two Zeldas on the NES bunch, so I think that, I love Minish Cap, so that would be really
good. Minish Cap is really good.
Maybe one of the Golden Suns. I mean, again, I'm not really a fan of the Golden Suns, so, but, you know, other people might like that, so.
That would be cool. They put the Golden Sun.
Yeah. Mother 3, maybe, I Can Dream.
Wario Land 4.
Mario Land 4?
That's, I never played that one.
Yeah.
No, Wario Land 4.
Wario Land 4. Yeah, I know, Roger.
I thought you said Mario Land 4, and I'm like, what the hell is that? Yeah. I never played much of the Wario Land games, so I'd definitely check that out. It's one of those GBA games I actually haven't played. It's hard to name, you know, games that these could be, because, I mean, I don't want a ton of games that I've already played. So.
True.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind if they're games I've already played, only because it's
no, I mean, I wouldn't either, but if I were going to make a list of games that I want to be included, you know, I don't know if I'd say, like, Minish Cap and Golden Sun and stuff, you know?
No, I hear. I do understand that, too, but...
For me, personally, anyway.
Yeah. No.
But honestly, I mean, they're all, they're probably all 10 of them are probably going to be all games that we've played. Because you know what I'm saying? Like,
there's a chance.
Yeah.
But that's why I wouldn't mind seeing something like, you know, Wario Land 4.
Right.
Yeah.
You
haven't really gotten into that. Gotcha.
Rusty also says that he's looking forward to Skyward Sword, Otomedius Excellence, which is a shoot 'em up, Batman Arkham City, and Lord of the Rings War on the North.
Nice.
We're on the list of games there. I'm sorry. We're going over this. I'm going to just call you Par to correct me. I'm sorry. I don't. He says he's going to be emigrating from Sweden to Canada in a few years. He asks, what PAL exclusive games do I need to buy on the cheap here and bring with me? And he says, yes, I'm changing my tongue twister for first name. He changed it to Archibald? Really? Is he really changing it to Archibald? That fucking rules.
Oh, no.
Yes, get a monocle, too, man. Fucking, that's awesome. Yes.
What was the question?
I don't even know. I'm just stuck on the Archibald thing.
I know. I can't get over Archibald.
That's so awesome.
I feel so bad laughing. I'm sorry. Okay.
I can't say for sure. I mean, I know, like, you know, like, Nintendo's has some exclusive games over there, both for the DS and for the Wii, so you may want to...
Yeah.
I would...
Xenoblade Blade and...
And I think by the time, he says it's a couple of years, you know, so, yeah, like, Last Story and, like, what's that other one?
Xenoblade Blade and Pandora's Tower.
Pandora's Tower, that's it, yep.
Pandora's Tower.
So... Yeah, I mean, I would think about bringing those with you, and then, I mean, what else is on like the DS? Like, you have, like, The Last Window.
Last Window, yeah.
There's probably a couple of them I'm forgetting. You also have the another Code R on the Wii.
The sequel to Trace Memory.
We didn't get that either. So, I mean, that's all I can say off the top of my head.
But, that Sonic Generations... Collector's Edition.
Yeah, bring me one too while you're at it, Archibald. I think that's a good start. And he is looking forward to Skyward Sword the most. So, plenty of Skyward Sword.
And he gets it before us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you emigrating again? just so I can say, change his name to Archibald. Fuck. Damn. Rohan says he's looking forward to Skyward Sword. Of course you are. Everyone is. Skyward Sword rules.
Yeah.
He says, especially after thumbing through the newest edition of Game Informer, Skyrim and Arkham City look fantastic, and he still needs to pick up Human Revolution, which is great.
Yep. Are you guys excited for Skyrim? Are you going to get that day one? That wasn't on the list, was it?
No, I guess no one was looking forward to Skyrim.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Just wanted to know.
I could see myself picking up later down the line.
Yeah, me too.
But not at launch. I Oblivion was okay, but I wasn't like the hugest fan of it. I felt Morrowind was better because it had a lot of more personality. And I think Skyrim's going to have more personality too, but it's just, open world games, I can't get them when they're released in the middle of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I just don't have the time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it comes out sandwiched between Uncharted and Zelda, so
yeah,
not for me. Andrew says, I know Seth and Steph do, not sure about Doug.
Geez, here we go.
But Craig, do you like the Uncharted series? Yes, sir, I do. I do. The first one, you know, I enjoyed the first one when it came out, but it's like, you don't realize how much of kind of a piece of shit that game is until you play Uncharted
2. Yeah, it's the truth.
Like Uncharted 1 had a lot of good ideas and stuff, and it was fun. But then you play Uncharted 2, and you're like, wow, they really did. Because they didn't really make any major changes to how the game played. They just made it a lot better.
Yeah, yeah, a lot better.
And I think that goes a lot to, like, that speaks a lot about game design.
Yeah.
You know, if you really want to look at, like, how a game can change without changing any of its core elements, like, you know, because people can be sold on a game like, oh, it's got guns and it's got adventure. Like, you can be sold on those kinds of elements, but, like, if they don't come together in a great way, then, you know, the game's just not worth it. So, I mean, you know, if you look at Uncharted 1 and Uncharted 2, like, you can really see the value of strong design with those same elements. Because you're comparing apples to apples, so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yep, definitely do like Uncharted.
And I do, too, since he didn't know about Doug.
Dear
Trey. Anyway.
Azam says, hey, Craig, I just want to tell you that the PS Vita had been delayed till next year. Yeah. Well, if it's for here, I don't think it was ever supposed to come out here this year. But I thought it was delayed in Japan. But so, Kim, he says he can't wait for Assassin's Creed Saints Row 3. That's one I like Saints Row 2. I didn't put Saints Row 3 on the list because it's just one of those games where like I know I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not going to be able to enjoy it buried under these games that I want to get more. So
yeah. You know what, though? I might have to break down and get that one just because I remember how much fun I had with Saints Row 2. Yeah. Just like, you know what I'm saying? It's totally mindless, and I could actually wait on it because I'm sure the price will drop or whatever, but I had a lot of fun with Saints Row 2.
Yeah, I got the special edition for Saints Row 2 for like $20 or some shit.
Did you really?
It just dropped, yeah. It comes in this big metal tin. I got like a money clip and shit. I got a USB drive shaped like a bullet.
Did you see the special edition for the third one?
I did. I saw the pre-order bonus. That's the only thing that would sway me is that fucking car. You can drive around this car and you suck up pedestrians in this car and shoot them out of a cannon. Fucking rules.
Awesome.
Skyward Sword, Skyrim, and Uncharted 3. This is going to be one hell of a November. Yeah, no shit, dude.
Mm-hmm.
No shit. Bill asks, when the Wii U is released, will you still get your multi-platform games on the Xbox 360? I probably will. It depends on the Wii U's online infrastructure. That will be the breaking point. Or the kind of extra content that will be, like if it's better graphics and you get all kinds of great, you know, interactive features with the controller, then I'll consider the Wii U version. But one of the strongest components for the 360 version is live. For me.
Yeah.
And right.
I really like the controller, too.
I do, too. So, it depends on what the Wii U version has to offer and the Wii U's online infrastructure. So, it's a couple of X factors there.
I agree.
And he asks, what are some of your favorite TV shows? Well, my favorite TV show of all time is X-Files.
Mine is Lost.
Wow. I guess my favorite show of all time is probably Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
See, yeah. I like Firefly. Firefly is one of my
favorite. Firefly is awesome.
I still haven't checked that out. Oh, you guys told me to check it out, and I totally need to. It's on my queue. I just need to actually boot it up and watch it.
I watch it every now and then. Like, I watch it like I would reread, like, a really good book, and then I'm always sad that it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
But I do love Firefly. I think Firefly is, like, almost 10 years old, and it's aged so much better than Buffy. Like, that's really, like, it's amazing how, like, in the intervening, like, 10 years, there are so few shows that could actually stand up to that quality.
Yeah. Buffy really hasn't aged well.
No, Buffy. I loved Buffy.
It looks really bad.
Back in the day, I fucking loved Buffy. But now, now I try to watch it, and I'm like, I can still see the elements that I enjoyed, right? But, I mean, it's so much of it is so cringeworthy at the same
time. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't watch Firefly until, like, last year, and, I mean, it holds up really well.
It does. It does. And it's great. The characters are fucking amazing. Everything's just so well written. Everything's so well, like, acted too. Like, the actors are brilliant in their roles.
Yeah.
A lot of great chemistry, so Firefly's mm-hmm. awesome. I'm a big fan of Veronica Mars. You guys ever watch
it? Ooh, I like Veronica Mars.
I've never seen it.
I think that might be on Instant.
It is.
Really?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and, I'll add it to my queue.
And that's another one. You're going to watch it, and then it's going to end. You're like, fuck.
I know. There's only three seasons.
Three seasons. The third season was a bit abbreviated.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of ended. And
I really like Veronica Mars.
He had like this whole arc plan where she was going to like join the FBI and everything. She was going to college. Like there was this whole arc plan for her. And, like, if you didn't watch Veronica Mars, you're a terrible human being, and you're the reason why we can't have nice things.
You know what other TV show I really wanted to get into? Well, I did get into it, but I stopped watching it. Smallville. Like, I stopped watching it.
I own almost all of those. Like, Walmart had them on sale for, like, I don't know, like $10
or something. Yeah, I always see it on sale. Like, I have up to the sixth season. That's where I stopped. And I think it stopped at 8, right?
It's like 8 or 9. It went on for a long time. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It went
maybe 10. I don't know. 10, okay. It was a lot.
Yeah, we need to pick that back up and stuff. You know, those first couple seasons were just so awesome.
I have 7 of them, and I have, and 4 of them are still sealed.
Yeah, 2 of mine are still sealed, but I've seen up until season 6.
I don't know why I like it, because, like, I gotta be honest, it's not that great of a show.
Really? You don't like it?
No, that's the thing, I do like it.
Yeah.
But I can't say why, because when I look at, like, the quality of the show, like, the quality.
Really You're right, the quality. Okay, I got you.
Yeah. You know, it's enjoyable, but it's not necessarily, like, great, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it just because I think
it's a guilty pleasure. I like it.
Yeah. And like I thought it was so cool how they took Superman and turned him into a teenager. You know what I'm saying? And kind of like how he had to deal with his powers and all that stuff. I don't know.
I just don't understand why Jor-El is an asshole.
Yeah.
I guess maybe I haven't gotten that far in the show, but like, wow, this guy's a dick. Fuck you, Jor-El.
Right?
What else? I like Battlestar Galactica. It's a good one.
Never seen that.
It's on Instant.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
Let's see. Arrested Development.
Arrested Development is fantastic.
Is that one either?
Another reason we have not seen.
Yeah. Fringe is awesome. I like Fringe.
Fringe is really good.
Nice.
I like certain seasons of The Simpsons and certain seasons of South Park, but
yeah.
Both of those shows might have overstayed their welcome.
I would agree.
Freaks and
Dexter. Dexter's
good.
Dexter is good.
Yeah. Starting tomorrow, new season. Yay!
Yeah. Modern Family is really good. That's on now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shows that are on now. Don't have time.
Ooh, shows that are on now.
It's really good. I definitely recommend it. It's consistently hilarious.
Is that the one with Al Bundy in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I basically only like DVR, Fringe, and now like Terra Nova. Like that's all I have.
How was that? I didn't watch the premiere. I have it DVR'd, I think. But
there were some aspects of it that were cheesy. Like, you know, the acting wasn't that great in some parts, and you know, some of the plot threads are kind of trite. But I think overall, it's setting itself up pretty well. I think there's a couple different conflicts and stories happening there, so. For what it's worth, it seems like they have a lot of material to explore. Because I was watching, I'm like, what do you have here? So they just fight dinosaurs. Is that it? Like, that's all you're going to have? It's fucking Land of the Lost. I don't care.
Yeah.
But they did set up a number of interesting threads. So see where it goes. It might be good. So, but that's it. Cool. Fringe and Terra Nova.
I'll check it out.
What?
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Twilight Zone. The original Twilight Zone is awesome.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I've never seen that either.
Oh, I love it. I think that's on Instant, too.
I will have to check it out. The Adventures of Pete and Pete. Of all the, like, the old Nickelodeon shows.
Ooh, my husband wants to try to find that on DVD.
I have it on DVD.
Okay, so it is on DVD. Okay.
Season 1 and 2.
So we're going to have to search for that.
Yeah. Nickelodeon was releasing, like, their old shows on DVD, but no one bought them.
Okay. You know what I have on DVD from Nickelodeon?
What?
Doug.
He loves that show too. My son doesn't get the awesomeness of Doug. He does not like that. Because you know how Nickelodeon's doing that whole 90s thing now.
Oh yeah.
And he's all about all that. Like, you know, on Friday nights he'll stay up and watch it. He DVRs it throughout the week because it comes on at midnight. And he loves all that. And Kenan and Kel. Like, I really like Kenan and Kel, too. Mm-hmm. But, like, when Doug comes on, he doesn't want to watch Doug. I can kind of understand Clarissa explains it all, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm like, Doug is awesome. Like, you know, we used to sit there and you used to watch it when you were, like, 6 months old. Of course, they remember. But, yeah, like, I like Doug. That's one of the few cartoons that I think is really good. Nickelodeon needs to bring back these shows, man. Yeah. Good. Doug's awesome.
Doug is awesome.
Yeah. And the Adventures of Pete and Pete.
I love Pete and Pete.
Double Dare. What's up with that? They need to do Double Dare.
I watched some episodes and I'm like, you stupid ass. You already looked in that pile of slop. Look in that pile of slop.
I know. Don't you so bad watching that? Like, take the physical challenge. Take the physical challenge. Yeah.
You always got some love square ass dad. Well, I'm an architect. And God bless architects, but man, he's like the nerdiest dad.
Right.
Oh no, I don't know. I'm not taking the physical challenge. That sounds physical.
That's awesome. And did they used to have another game show that was like video game related?
Yeah, Nick Arcade.
Was that what it was called? Nick Arcade?
Yeah, it's called Nick Arcade.
Yeah, and they sat there and they played video games for prizes and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
oh man, hearing him like describe like some of the games you're playing, like
yeah,
who came up with this thing, man? They didn't have Wikipedia back then, but Jesus Christ, just read the instruction manual. Fuck
yeah.
but like that whole blue screen thing they had to do.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh man, that looked like a pain in the ass. And everyone's like, oh my god, just duck under the fireballs. He can't see the fucking fireballs. They're not
right.
There.
Right?
There are no fireballs. And then danger.
Oh man. Yeah. TV just is not what it used to be. Gosh.
I don't even know.
Nickelodeon throughout the day.
Kids don't play with toys. They don't watch cartoons. I don't know what kids do anymore.
Yeah.
Sad. They don't want to be outside. Nope. I mean, really?
And you know what? Different times, I get that. I don't want to be a crotchety old man, but like, man, boy, I tell you what, like, I just don't think I would be able to survive. Like, I mean, they have some great things. Like, a lot of kids have like iPod touches and stuff. That's awesome. I think my 8-year-old self would have shit his pants over an iPod touch. But like, man, giving up like all like the Saturday morning cartoons and going outside, nah. Mm-hmm. I had a good childhood. I'm happy.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Same here.
Anyway, totally off track. Jenna asks, what do you think about GameStop selling iPods, iPads, et cetera, and taking them in for trade? I don't have an opinion, just interesting in hearing what you think. I think it's a smart business move.
Yeah.
Considering that, you know, some of the changes have been made in how people game in the past couple of years. I don't know if they do iPhones, because that to me seems weird.
No, I don't think they're doing iPhones.
I don't think they do iPhones.
Okay.
I didn't even know it was iPads. That's cool, I guess. No, I know when I was there, they asked me if I had an iPod to trade in. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then they explained it. I was like, oh, okay, gotcha. But I don't know who would ever go and buy an iPod from GameStop. I don't know.
If it's cheaper, and like, the only thing that concerns me, though, and it doesn't concern me because I'm not going to be buying anything, but I feel bad for whatever doofus walks in there, is data.
Yeah.
Is the data. Yeah. I don't know what precautions GameStop takes.
Right.
You know, we hear about people booting up their DSIs and seeing porn and shit on them or whatever. I don't know. They must have some pretty lax policies. And of course, you know, if you leave your shit on there and you sell it to GameStop or whatever, that's your own damn fault, I guess, but at the same time, people make mistakes.
Uh-huh.
So you think, oh fuck, I forgot to delete my iPod Touch, and whoever buys that,
that's
what
bad
kind of obligation do they have not to use your shit? You left it on, you know. I don't know.
That's why I was so worried about when I sold my PSP Go, because like, you know, I double checked that thing like 3 times to make sure, you know, my password and all that stuff wasn't on there, because the person I was selling it to could have easily gone in and gotten access to a whole bunch of games.
Right. So, I guess that concern goes for a lot of things. Like Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Your shit's on there. You have to call Microsoft to get that shit off. I don't think you can do that yourself.
Yep. Hold on, what, for the Xbox 360?
Yeah.
Really?
You can enter a credit card to the machine. It's saved. I have never seen an option on the machine to tell you to remove your credit card information.
Oh, you know what? You're right, because I have a credit card on there that's expired, but I don't know how to take it off.
Yeah, it's just sitting on there.
You know, you're right. I don't. Yeah. You are right. and it's just sitting there. I've even gone on the website to try to take it off, and I can't. I can see where you can add a new credit card, but I can't see where you can delete it.
They make you call for, like, anything. Like, if you...
Yeah, you can't, like, cancel your subscription to Xbox Live or anything.
Right, you have to call them up and talk to someone. Like, why do I have to do this? They shouldn't have to do this. But they make you.
Wow.
They make you.
That jump through hoops.
Yep.
They used to have an option on the site to, like, cancel auto-renew of your Live account or something, but it's not there anymore.
Yeah, if you just want to cancel auto-renew, yeah.
Yeah, nope.
But anyway, to answer the question, I'm only concerned about data, but otherwise I think it's probably a good business move on their part to adapt to a changing climate. And she's excited for Skyward Sword and Harvest Moon on the 3DS.
Cool.
Good choices, of course. They're good choices because I'm looking forward to those as well. That's why they're good choices. That's our metric for good choices.
I'm looking forward to Skyward Sword too.
Good choice, Chris. Good choice. Zom, this is like his like third one?
Right.
Hey, you can do as many as you want. I'm going to tell you no. I'm just... will Seth be buying a PlayStation Vita? And he asked his question. Like, Seth has... Like, first time he's been on in 6 months. I think Seth is interested in the Vita, but I don't think he's going to be buying it at launch. That's the impression I've gotten from Seth.
Mm-hmm.
So. And how long... are you staying in Japan? I will be in Japan for, I don't know, like almost 2 weeks or something like that. I've been there for like a while. No, the whole trip is going to take almost 2 weeks. Like time changes and shit.
It's so wild. I think that's so weird.
It sucks because like
time traveling.
I know.
The last time I went, it was like a week, which seems like, that seems like a substantial amount of time to take off from work and go do something. But then we only got like 4 full days there.
So when do you actually... get back home? What date?
I get home in the evening on the 11th. So no, it's actually a little bit less than that. I don't know what I'm thinking. It's less than, so it's a little over.
Hold on, wait. Half. So what date do you leave Japan?
The 11th.
The 11th? Whoa, that's weird.
Really, time traveling. Insane.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like a 13-hour difference or something like that. So.
Okay.
So I leave like early afternoon and then get home like basically a couple hours later. I get home like in the evening.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yep. We were trying to get creative with the time so I could have 2 birthdays.
right.
That didn't work out.
Do you have any plans for what day is your birthday? The 3rd.
Tuesday, the 4th.
The 4th.
So
okay,
our first full day there, because we're getting there like Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm leaving tomorrow morning, I'm getting there Monday night, you know.
Crazy.
But my first full day there, we're going to Akihabara, and I'm just going to buy some motherfucking games.
Yay! That's awesome.
That's my birthday present, is to go somewhere so I can buy things.
Right.
Hey, that's cool.
You know?
It's all good. Brandon asks, if someone offered you $1,000 to completely give up on gaming for 6 months, would you? No.
No?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Nah, $1,000, you know, it's not a small amount of money, and I think most people would benefit from an extra $1,000. It's just not enough for me to give up something that I love for 6 months.
It's just
It's
can't put a price tag on this.
I think Brandon looks a bit younger, When you're older, Brandon, $1,000 just doesn't go very far. It really doesn't. So
yeah, I'm sure there is a price tag that would make me be willing to do that. But
now
$10,000.
Yeah, $10,000. Yeah. I would probably consider. Yeah, you times it by 10. I'll do that. But $1,000, like that doesn't even cover my bills. Like the bills I have to pay.
Yeah, but if you gave up gaming, you'd have probably more money that you wouldn't be spending on games. So you can get a lot more than $1,000.
Do with myself, like what the hell would I spend on?
Yeah.
Right, because I couldn't do like the podcast. Like, hi guys, I'm doing this podcast about games I'm not playing for 6 months. I can't make videos, so a lot of what I devote my spare time to, TV and lusts, I couldn't even do that.
Yeah.
So no games, no TV and lusts. Just what would I do? I don't even know what to do.
No video games and no podcasts make Craig something.
Go crazy. Don't mind if I do. So that wraps up questions and listener input for what they're looking forward to. So that's great. Thank you, everyone, for participating. We appreciate it, as always. And before we talk about what games I've been playing lately. The winner of the Retro Game Challenge game is Dahlin.
Woo!
Randomly Dahlin. Chosen.
Right.
So, after this episode goes live, Seth will contact Dahlin and get in touch with him to get his game out to him. So, thank you, everyone, for entering. We'll have plenty more contests in the future. Please keep listening to this podcast, if only for the fact we're trying to buy your love, and maybe you'll win something in the future.
It's worth it, guys.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we're picking games that we personally enjoy, but they are great games. There's a reason why we are picking them. So, games been playing lately. Steph, a few weeks. How have you been playing?
Let's see. Gears of War 3. I'm almost done with that. Act 3. No, wait. 5. Chapter 3. I don't know. Something like that.
It's at the end, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm basically at the end.
I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm not really big into shooters. Like, I enjoy playing shooters, but I'm not really big into them. But I think the reason why I like Gears so much, or at least Gears 3 and Resistance 3, is because they don't really feel like shooters, even though they are. They feel more like, I don't know, like blockbuster, big action movie type of games. You know what I'm saying? So it's just really entertaining to, like, sit down and blow off some steam, chainsaw some dudes, and have fun with it. I haven't tried out the multiplayer yet, but I definitely want to get into that once I'm done with the single player. So really enjoying Gears 3. And I've also been playing Kirby Mass Attack, which is a lot of fun. And I'm really surprised with this game, because, you know, when I heard it was more or less like Canvas Curse, I was kind of, you know, I really wasn't going to pick it up. But I was like, whatever, let me try it out. And I'm enjoying it. I think it is a lot like Canvas Curse. You just use the stylus to control everything, but it's better. And the controls work a lot better than Canvas Curse. Like, I haven't gotten frustrated with the controls yet. And I've played almost through the first world. So, like, I'm really enjoying that game. It's a lot of fun. It's so cute. It's Kirby. But sometimes, you know, since you can control up to 10 Kirby, sometimes it gets a little frustrating. I don't even want to say frustrating. It's a little annoying because some of your Kirbys will get stuck somewhere, you know, and you have to go back and grab them. That's basically it. A little Dead Island here and there, but not that much. But yeah, that's basically it. This week has really been me just getting through Gears, and before I'm about to go to sleep, I've been popping in Kirby. Oh, and I played a little bit of Bit Trip Saga
on the 3DS.
On the 3DS, yeah. Is that Saga? Excuse me. Yeah, it. My eyes hurt after playing that game. It's awesome. I'm enjoying it. You know, it's a lot of fun, but it's definitely something that I can't play for a long period of time, especially with the 3D on, because my eyes, like, I feel like I don't blink when I'm playing it, especially Bit Trip Runner. Like, I just feel like I'm going, like, minutes without blinking. And then I look up and I look in the mirror like, oh my gosh, what the hell happened to my eyes? So, it's cool though. It's a really good value, I think, though. Because didn't those games, like, retail, or, you know, they came out at what, like $8 or something like that?
Yeah, I think they were between like $6 and $8, something like
that. Yeah. So, I mean, it's
what, six
cool.
games on there, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you like those games, definitely try it out. I don't know how the Wii version is, if it's any different, but I'm enjoying it. I mean, the 3D, you don't even really need the 3D, to be honest with you, because I think it doesn't add really anything to it. Craig, you have it, right?
Yep.
What do you think about the 3D?
I like the 3D.
You like the 3D? See, I feel like I don't know what the 3D is, because I don't know. It's hard for me.
I don't know.
If it's hard for me to see. Yeah, it is subtle. But it hurts, like, my eyes. You don't have that same effect, like, when you're playing it for a long amount of time. Like, it doesn't hurt your eyes now?
No.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just so intense. Like, oh, my gosh, I can't die.
Yeah. I love that, though. I played some more of the games. I played a lot of Runner. Holy shit, Runner is so good.
Isn't it?
I tried to tell you.
I didn't not believe you. I'm just...
Yeah.
No, I was the same way. You know, I heard so many good things, and then when I played it, I was like, whoa. you know.
Runner is awesome. Next, I've only played a little bit of Beat, and I played that before. That one, you have to use your stylus, though.
Wait, I think you can use the analog.
You can you can, but it's too loose. Have you tried it?
Yeah, I don't. I use the stylus on it.
Yeah, the stylus is better. But and then the rest of the time I played Runner just because I was just so addicted to it. I haven't tried out any of the other ones, so we'll see. I have to make sure that get my eyes get some rest or something before I play.
They're all great concepts, but I think in practice some of the games are better than others. And I would totally put like Runner at like the forefront. Like that game.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh.
Because when you're doing well, like there's just no comparison. It's so
yeah.
And the music is just so awesome, and how everything just is in tune with the music. It's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great game.
It's hard to describe because they're gonna go, oh, you're just running and just jumping over shit. Well, yeah, but I mean, like the game is just when you are doing well, it is absolutely sublime. And when you fuck up. You fucked up.
Yeah.
It is your fault.
You did it. And and because you know it's your fault, because the game is just so well designed, mm-hmm. and you know it's your fault, you just keep playing.
Yeah. And it just goes right back. There's no game over or anything. It just goes right back into it.
Yeah, it's like Super Meat Boy. You just pop back at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
That's good stuff.
So, yeah, that's it for me. Oh, and I played a little Dragon Quest Monsters Joker 2, whatever the name of that new game is.
It's such a weird long title.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it is.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I didn't get a chance to play the first one, so I really wasn't – I didn't know what to expect. And I started off – I actually went last week. I picked it up last Friday, and and I was told, I got it from GameStop, I was told that there was going to be some type of event that, you know, at another GameStop on Saturday that was going to give, be able to, I don't know, was some, what was it, King Slime, Granddaddy Slime, some downloadable monster that you can get into your game. So I went to the event last week, and the chick that was there, she didn't even know what the hell she was supposed to be doing. So I had to figure out how to scout her person into my game. And that didn't even work because her person was so much powerful than mine. I kept killing my party. So it was a big waste of time. I went to GameStop for absolutely nothing. I thought I was going to get this monster, but it didn't actually work. But it's so far, it's so good. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I didn't play the first one, so I don't know. You know, where it's coming from, but it's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
It's a bit different than Pokemon because, and I think Jeremy Parrish from 1UP pointed this out really well, is that the monsters in Dragon Quest, they're disposable.
Yeah. Like,
they're just a means to an end. They're not, you're not supposed to, oh, get my favorite one. It's so cute. No. That's Pokemon. Dragon Quest monsters, you get those guys, you fuse them, or you fucking ditch them. Like, it doesn't even give you enough room to save all of them.
Yeah.
So they're just tools. They're just, you know, consider them your weapon stash. That's what they are. They're not. They're not friends. They're just monsters that you've. Well, in the game, you don't capture them. You impress them.
So is the first monster that you get, you don't get to keep him, or you have to fuse him. Basically, that's what you do.
You can keep him. You can keep him if you want.
Because I think he's so cute.
But and Sunny, and it's like that's one of my cat's names too.
Yeah.
But, you go out and you impress other monsters with your show of force, and then they join you, and, then you fuse them or let them go or level them up, whatever. I mean, they're like weapons. They're like, you go to a weapon store and buy weapons. That's what they are.
Yeah.
They're very disposable. So you kind of have to go in with that mindset that, like, you're not, oh, he's slime, he's so cute. And like, no, fuck that slime.
I know. Darn it.
You can keep what you want, but I mean,
but it's not. It's
keeping
worthless.
The low ends are just not. Yeah, they're just, it's just not worth it. That's how the first Joker was. It's just just how the game is. So
right,
I don't think it makes it better or worse than Pokemon. It's just different. But I've been playing Joker 2 as well, and I think it's better than the first Joker.
And, sweet, okay.
But it's a pretty standard. I mean, all in all, it's pretty standard RPG stuff. Like the plot's like really like loose.
Yeah, it is.
And the combat's pretty simple. But I like the combat. I do like the simplicity in Dragon Quest's combat. And the environments are nice to explore. So
yeah, they are. I thought it was a little too chatty in the beginning. Like, I just kind of wanted to get to the point of the game. There was a lot of dialogue. Oh, yeah. That just was
welcome to every JRPG ever.
I know. But I was like, this was the first time that I totally noticed it. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't really care. I just want to get to the monsters.
Yeah, yeah. And there isn't really even much of a plot to speak of. Like,
yeah,
bore
yeah.
you with, like, nothing.
So, yeah.
Nah, I hear
you. So that's me. That's all I've been playing.
What about you, Chris?
I have been playing Retro Game Challenge, which we just gave away. Yay.
Nice.
I used to own this game, and it got lost with my DS last year sometime. But I picked it up at GameStop because I found a copy, and I still love this game. I mean,
so good.
You know, some of the games in it are not that great. You know, some of the earlier stuff, like, you know, Cosmic Gate is kind of, you know, pretty basic, shoot 'em up, and, you know,
yeah.
Rally King is, you know, it's okay, but, I mean, the presentation, you know, is great, the way you can look in the magazines and stuff, and, you know, Areno makes fun of you and stuff, like if you were playing a game, you know, as a kid, you know, it's a lot of fun, but some of the later games are really good, you know, Guadia Quest, which is, you know, kind of like an old-school RPG.
Yeah.
Well, it really is an old school RPG. I mean, there's like a full RPG game built in here, and it's very impressive, you know, considering, you know, what it is. And that was the furthest I had gotten, you know, previously when I played the game. You know, I had never beaten it or, you know, beaten the final challenge to get to the next game, and now I have, and I think that's because I just spent several months playing an RPG. But, I mean, you know, once you get past the grinding, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of grinding, but once you get past that, it's a lot of fun. You know, there's tons of secrets to find in, like, the dungeon, and, you know, the battles are pretty challenging, but they're, you know, it's a lot of fun. And then there's, after that, I finally got to Hagelman 3, which is kind of like a, you know, a Ninja Gaiden, excuse me, type game.
It's different, like, Hagelman before it.
Yeah, there was Hagelman and Hagelman 2, which are very similar, and they're very basic kind of platformers. You know, you run around and you jump on enemies, but the third one has, like, these huge levels, and, you know, you can upgrade your weapons and stuff, so you can throw your ninja stars faster and stuff. It's really impressive. I mean, I had not gotten that far, so I didn't realize that this game was in there, but I was really impressed with it when I got to it. But overall, Retro Game Challenge is really, really good. I mean, if you can find a copy, I definitely recommend it to everybody, you know?
I agree.
And it's a shame that the sequel is never going to come out here, it seems, because nobody bought it.
That's what happens when, yeah, people don't buy good games, unfortunately.
Yeah. I also picked up the Ico and Shadow of the Colossus collection, which is still awesome. You know, I own both games on the PS2, but I've never played much of Ico. And I love Shadow of the Colossus. That's probably my favorite PS2 game. But I've only been playing Ico on there because I've never beaten it before. And it's really good. I mean, it's hard to believe this game was made in, you know, 2000. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they improved the graphics because it's in HD and on PS3 and everything, but it looks really, really good.
Nice.
It's so atmospheric. I mean, the way there's no HUD, there's no music most of the time. I mean, and they don't really, like, tell you anything. A lot of times there's no, like, on-screen prompt, press, you know, triangle to jump or anything. You just kind of have to figure it out on your own, which, I mean, I know you said you didn't like that in, like, Demon's Souls, but, I mean, I think this game is, you know, it has a lot of direction, you know where you have to go.
Right.
And, it's not balls hard, but... I mean, I really like that about it, you know, where you just kind of, you have to figure out what you have to do, you know, just kind of have to experiment to, you know, oh, I press this button to jump. And like, there's a part where you have to, swing on one of the ropes to reach a certain area. And up till that point, there's no indication that you can swing on the ropes.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. One of my coworkers at the Toy Vault was, talking about that rope part, just that. He was actually talking about the game not really holding your hand.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like you, he also said it's not, like, extremely difficult.
Yeah. I mean, it's
something
not...
That
it's, what is that, Steph? Is that you?
Is that Steph?
Oh, sorry. My son is opening up a package of cookies. Wow, you guys can hear that? Oh yeah, my god,
that was kind of really loud.
He's all like, give me them Oreos. Like, he's all getting up in there.
No, he's like, we're about to bake cookies, and he was opening the package up. Wow, that's crazy. Okay, sorry.
That's some powerful monkey.
That's all right. Hey, my dog barks all the time. So. Yeah, I mean, the game doesn't give you a lot of, like, it doesn't hold your hand, but for the most part, it's pretty linear. You know, you get to a room, and you know you have to get through it, so... You know, you can kind of figure out, okay, if I climb down this rope, I've got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I love that about it. You know, I've been really impressed with it so far. But that is it for me, just those two. A lot of retro game challenge and now a lot of eco, so.
Excuse me, not feeling well. Which what sucks, right, before you travel.
I don't know, have croup. Right?
Ugh. No, it's not croup, thank God. No croup. So I've been playing a lot of the English version of Solo Turobo, and I'm about where I am in the Japanese version. And, you know, I've been talking about this game since, I think, late last year, early this year, or something. It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to talk about it too much now, but there's a reason why I can still keep talking about this game, and that's because it is phenomenal. Like, it's excellent. It's amazing. And I really think it's a DS must-own. If you have a DS... You should really consider getting Solo Turobo.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's brilliant. And it's the sort of game where like you really do need to pause to take things in sometimes, because there's so much to take in. There's just so much to experience in that game. It's just really really good.
I can't wait to play it. I have it sitting here, but I haven't opened it up yet.
Open that bitch.
Yeah.
Open it up.
Mine was open because I bought it at GameStop.
Yeah.
That stinks.
But it was worth it.
Yeah.
You at least get, like, the CD and stuff with it?
Yeah, it was still in the nice box and everything, so.
The box is really nice.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a super nice box. I expected something like Atlas does, you know, where you get a slightly oversized box, but, like, the disc comes in, like an envelope or whatever.
Oh, right. Really?
They do that with some of their special editions on the DS. But, no, this is, like, a nice big box with a jewel case and everything inside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good on XSEED.
So what's the gameplay like? It's an action RPG, right?
Yeah, but the focus isn't on battle.
Okay.
I mean, you'll be doing all kinds of things. In fact, you'll be using the mechanics that you use in battle to just to do all kinds of other things. Did you play Crystal Bears on Wii?
Uh-huh, a little bit, yeah.
I think that's the closest comparison where, like, it's an adventure game, but it's not like... You know, a lot of adventure games have a particular structure. Like Zelda, you have the dungeons.
Okay.
You know, and like Crystal Bear, Solo Turobo is not really like that. Where it, you know, around every corner is something fairly new. It uses the mechanics that you've already learned, but there's usually something new. And
Right. Honestly,
like if you're like, let's say you're reading a book that's an adventure, like Harry Potter or something like that. Like there's a reason why Harry Potter the book isn't like a dungeon grind. Could that be kind of I mean, it does get kind of boring. Like, real adventures aren't really like that. They're different things. And that's kind of like what Crystal Bearers is like. That's what Solo Turobo was like. There's something new around
the corner. Oh, okay. That sounds really good.
And
I didn't know it was like that.
There are battles and stuff. Like I said, you'll be using, like, your battle mechanics because, like, you have, like, this robot. And he has, like, these arms you can use to pick things up. So, like, you'll try to pick up enemies. And you can upgrade your robot. So, like, one of the things you can upgrade is hydraulics. And to lift things up, like heavy things, you walk up to it and you swipe it with A, so you swipe with your arms, and you have to mash A after that. Mm-hmm. And with better hydraulic upgrades, like, you don't have to mash A nearly as much.
Oh, okay.
So you can pick up enemies and throw them into each other. Or you can, like, if it shoots missiles, you can grab the missiles out of the air and hurl them at them. But you'll be using those same mechanics to, like, solve puzzles, like, move crates around and things like that. So there are different things. You can get out of the robot and, like... Like, early on, like, there's, like, a sewer area. So, like, you have to get out of the robot and, like, swim around to, like, lower, like, turn valves to, like, lower the water and stuff. So.
Nice.
Okay. There's also a quest where I actually picked up trash with the robot. So, I did pick up garbage. So, yeah, I mean, you're doing a lot of different things. And there's just, and the graphics are amazing. Like, there's so much, you know, when you're watching, like a Studio Ghibli film, like a Miyazaki film.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes to focus on these things that happen to, like, show, like, that the world in the movie is alive. So there are places where, like, the grass, like, he'll just show scenes where, like, the grass is blowing or birds are just kind of flying through the air. And there's all kinds of those details just like that in this game. Like, a lot of effort went to make the world feel vibrant and alive, and it goes just a long way to draw you in.
Nice.
Simple things. Simple, simple things, but they go a long way.
Nice.
I'm glad I already bought it today.
It's good, good stuff.
Because I think this would be selling me on the game even more. So.
Good, good. Should sell everyone on the game. It's excellent. So I've been playing a lot of that. I played some retro games throughout the week. A bit older games, last generation and beyond. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever played a James Pond game?
I've heard of that. I've never played it, though.
On the Genesis?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one. It was a mini game one that I have, though.
It wasn't that fun. No. Yeah, so I have James Pond 2.
Okay.
And it's not that great. Like,
yeah.
And people seem to like the James Pond games. And I half wonder, and look, I'm going to sound like a super dick, and I want people to understand I'm not being an asshole here at all. I promise so much. But I half wonder if, like, people like them because they're distinctly British, like they're British-made games. So it's like a sense of, like, nationalism behind
that.
Oh, what
an asshole.
Well, I don't want to sound like a dick. Like people are like, oh, I'm, you know, like, I'm ragging on something because it's British, or because I'm not, or maybe I'm saying that, like, British people like crap just because it's British. Hey, guys, I like Rare. It's all good.
There you go.
No malice intended, but I just half wonder if there's a sense of, like, national identity associated with James Pond. Because James Pond 2, it's not very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same. I'm playing this and I'm like, oh my god! Like, it's the same fucking cheery ass song playing over and over again. He jumps. The way this guy jumps is so, like, you play games and, like, you play like Mario, and there's a specific height and there's a specific physics to, like, Mario's jump, and, you know, a lot of, like, the platforming segments are based around how Mario can jump. James mm-hmm. Pond, he fucking hurls through the face of fish, but this guy flies. He just sails through the damn air. There's gravity doesn't affect this guy. He defies all laws of physics. So a lot of the challenge of jumping is trying to actually reel his jump in.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can jump so high and so far. So the jumping just isn't that great. And, like, the level design, well, I mean, I shouldn't even call it level design because there is no design. It's a bunch of crap. It's a bunch of junk thrown in the level that you just have to, I mean, it's just, ugh. So this is my first time playing a James Pond game. They seem well-liked, but I'm playing this, and I'm like, is this game awful? Like, is this game broken? Is it terrible? No. But in an era where I could have been playing Super Mario World or Sonic the Hedgehog 3, I'm not going to be playing James Pond.
Right. I picked it up because I guess I got it, like, a year and a half ago because I heard that, you know, a lot of people said that it was a good series. And the one that I picked up was like a spinoff or like a knockoff. It's a mini games one. And I was like, oh, this is horrible. So I never went back and got, like, an official James Pond game.
No.
But I guess, whatever.
Let me look this up because
I'll forget about it again.
I was curious. There's a mini game one. Let me see. We got James Pond, James Pond 2, codenamed RoboCod. That's what I was playing. The Aquatic Games. That must be the one you were playing.
Yeah, that's it.
James Pond 3, Operation Starfish. And then there's James Pond and the Deathly Shallows, which is the iOS one. I hear that one's terrible. But people say it's terrible, as if, like, the original ones were good. Like, James Pond 2 is not that great.
They have catchy names, though.
They do have catchy names. I'll give them that. But, ooh. Yeah. Not a fan. I played some Quackshot. That's pretty good. I think I remember parts of that game, but I don't know. It's weird. Like, sometimes I half wonder if I just remember, like, ads from games, and then I think I played it as a kid.
Right.
Like, a lot of my friends were talking about it, so I must have played it. I don't know. A lot of these games I just don't remember. So I don't know whether I played it or not. But that's pretty good. You know, it's not one of the better Disney Genesis games of that era. Mm-hmm. But, it's not bad. It's not bad. It has this awkward, like, and I think there's a couple other games that do this, because you have three buttons on the Genesis controller, and the default control scheme is A is run, B shoots your plunger, and C jumps. Now, of course, you can mix those up. It does give you that option. But it's like trying to, like, run and jump and shoot your plunger with three different buttons. Like, imagine if you're playing Mario, and one button is jump, one button is fireballs, and one button is run.
That doesn't make sense.
No. It's really awkward.
That's complicated.
Right. I actually keep the default control scheme, and I use my thumb to run, and then I use my index finger, and I actually switch my index finger back and forth over jump and shoot. Because it's just weird. Like, three buttons for, like, those things is just weird. So.
Wow.
Because otherwise, Donald Duck, he just walks fucking slow as hell if you want to.
Yeah.
So I've been playing that, and played Shinobi on PS2,
uh-huh.
And I owned that before, And I liked that. I forgot how much I actually liked that game. It's a pretty simple action game. Like, when compared to some of the more, like, you compare it to something like Bayonetta, which has a ton of fucking moves and all kinds of shit. Like, it's simpler than something like that, but
right.
I like it. And it's pretty challenging. I also played Dirge of Cerberus, Final Fantasy VII, the third-person shooter with Vincent.
How is that?
I like it. You know, because I remember a lot of the reception to be, like, kind of negative around
it. Yeah, I heard it was, like, horrible. But, well, all the reviews and stuff said it was horrible. But then, like, I don't know, maybe, like, a year down the line, a lot of people were saying how awesome it was. And it, I remember actually wanting to go get it, but I never got around to it. I should probably do that, because it's probably dirt cheap now. Like,
yeah, I got
dollars.
It for a couple of dollars. I didn't pay. Yeah. I think I paid $7. And it's probably, nice. Like, that, you can probably even find it cheaper if you look, but I got it for the
So you like it?
I do like it. It is a third-person shooter, like, mm-hmm. as Square Enix can do a third-person shooter. So, I mean, it's not, like, this action-heavy, like, Gears of War, but it's not quite as, like, fantasy-flavored as a more traditional Final Fantasy. It sits somewhere very in the middle, and it has unique aspects that, like, only Square would throw into a game.
Okay.
Because your targeting reticle isn't even always on. You have to draw your weapon before that's up on your screen. And then you can fuse bullets with, like, materia and make them, like, magically charged. And you can actually equip different, you know, this is where, like, role-playing stuff comes in. You can actually equip different attachments to your weapons and change them up. So there's some interesting stuff going on in there. And, I like it. I was very worried going in because a lot of the reception was, like, negative. And I'm like... This game sounds interesting. I really want to like it, and I do. So there wasn't too much to worry about there.
Okay.
So that was pretty good stuff. I played a handful of other things, but nothing major. So that's it for me. I guess we can wrap up this podcast then.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's actually the last podcast for maybe about 2 weeks because I will be gone. If anybody wants to follow me on Twitter, I can't tweet from my phone. Like, I would be, like, murdered in charges if I activated, like, roaming data on my phone in Japan. But I will have my computer with me, so I'll be able to tweet a little bit. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at TV and Lust. Very simple. Mm-hmm. Steph is Steph2Def. She's on there. You got Chris, he's Rebonack, Rebonack. Seth is Hetnikick, H-E-T, underscore. He's got an underscore in that, right? Underscore N-K-I-K. And Peter is actually, his name is Peter Van Brunt. So if you want to follow everyone, there you go. But I will be the only one in Japan, so fuck everyone else. again.
Enjoy yourself.
I will do my
definitely.
Best.
And happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate
yes, happy
it.
Birthday.
I feel super old. Like,
shit, I forgot to get you something.
That's quite all right. I appreciate that. congratulations once again to Dolan. And I want to thank everyone for listening. And until next time, you guys take it easy.